The following is another KXPN Sports presentation. KXPN Sports presents high school football.
That count is your right end. Hadwiger, your left end. Back out of the I formation. Fourth and six at the 11 of Wallace. And back to pass he goes. Looking for Eckhout. Pump fake. Now he's going to try and run. Eckhout wide open in the end zone, but he's trying to run. Tobenheim scrambling. Breaks the tackle. He's to the five. He's into the end zone. It was all Tobenheim.
Tonight, the Class D1 state playoffs begin in Amherst as the Broncos battle the Ansley Litchfield Spartans. High school football on ESPN Radio is brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club.
They're at the 22-yard line with 56 seconds to go. Wallace 44, Amherst 42. Under pressure, Tobenheim throws to the end zone. Eckhout's open. Touchdown! Braden Eckhout with 50 seconds to go has put Amherst back on top, 48-44.
After going winless last season, Ansley Litchfield has posted 5 wins on the board this year. Amherst, who advanced to the D2 semifinals last year, looks to begin another run tonight with a second win over the Spartans in the past 3 weeks. It's the Spartans and Broncos coming up next, but first, the New Tech Seed pregame show with Joni ESPN Radio's Doug Dude and Larry Baker right after this word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit New Tech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Would you have been disappointed had...
For the second consecutive Thursday, we are on the road at Amherst for the opening round tonight of the 2014 D1 State Football Playoffs as the Amherst Broncos welcome in the Spartans of Ansley Litchfield. Just a couple of years that these schools have consolidated. Of course, both have some history for Litchfield. They were just getting good in 8-man again when the teams combined and both went from D2 to D1. Of course, they had some championship runs back when they were playing some 6-man football. For Amherst, they've been a solid program, obviously, for a number of years. They state semifinals last year, and pleased to be joined by Larry Baker, head football coach at Centura, who has been with us over the years. And Larry, you know a lot about Amherst, and the road is going to be a lot tougher for the Broncos after being upset by Burwell last week.
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, and the thing is, you want to close those seasons out, because this is exactly what happens to you. This is not an easy game for them tonight. Then if they can get past tonight, Fullerton, awful rough road. So there's no doubt about that. You have to close your season because those one game somewhere makes such a difference.
And already had a couple of winners today on this side of the bracket, as you may have heard earlier on ESPN. Hemingford came out, and they did not let off of a Shelton. And Shelton didn't help themselves with quite a few just turnovers, some non-contact drop balls, the block punt. And they got rolled up by Hemingford today. Blue Hill takes care of North Central. So Blue Hill will be traveling out to Hemingford in the round of 16. Here you've got, as you said, Fullerton most likely will get the win on the other side. If Amherst wins, they would go to Fullerton. If Ansley Litchfield wins, Fullerton would head up that way. But I'll tell you what, before you even get to the semifinals, I think you're going to see maybe the best teams are on this side, led by Fullerton and Hemingford. Creighton's the number one seed, but the feeling is Fullerton and Hemingford is ranked number one and has been all season after going to the finals last year and losing in the final minute, that they are maybe even heads and shoulders above everybody else in this class.
Well, I mean, Doug, they bring them all back, and that was, they get their heart broke last year in that finals game. They were leading hot. You know, Coach Haas has done a great job, thought he had them in position to win that state title. But I just will tell you, when you look at it on this side, Amherst, a team that has a lot of athletes. You know, Sundrup, the running back from Fullerton, is electric there. Hemingford's got all the horses, and I mean, they got a bunch of studs, and they're going to score a lot of points. But Blue Hill is a team that is very well coached. They have a bunch of great athletes, And I don't know that things were as easy for them as maybe they thought that it was going to be coming down. But Coach Porter does a great job, and clearly it would be an upset next week. But I would not sleep on Blue Hill going out to Hemingford.
Well, let's take a look at a few of the scores that we have for you on our Valentino scoreboard. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet, North 2nd Avenue, Kearney, Hemingford 71, Shelton 14, Blue Hill 55, North Central 27. In the eastern portion of the bracket in the second quarter, Diller Odell leads High Plains 16-6. At the half, Guardian Angels over Pawnee City 52-0. In the second quarter, Heartland leads Lord Central Catholic 12-0. Scribner-Snyder, the 10 seed, leading the 7 seed Bloomfield 24-14 in the second quarter of play. This is an old score, but Sandhill Stedford taking care of Hitchcock County. This was about a half hour ago, 35-0. Bertrand, a winner today over Hay Springs, 48-20. In a D2 action, Fall City Sacred Heart beat Emerson Hubbard 52-13, and Stewart blanked Osceola 48-0. So in the second round, the round of 16, you are going to have a rematch of last year's state championship in D2 with Fall City Sacred Heart traveling to Stewart. ABC and six-man get underway tomorrow. We'll talk more about that as the night progresses, but we had a chance to catch up with Ansley Litchfield head coach A.J. Berkey and Amherst head coach Ron Evans. We'll hear from them in a moment. You're listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your yield leader. Contact Terry and Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you.
Head to Tom Dinsdale Automotive for a truck or SUV that works as hard as you do. Get 0% financing for 60 months with approved credit on a 2014 three-quarter ton Chevy or GMC truck. Or get 0% financing for 60 months with approved credit on a 2014 Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, or Traverse, or GMC Acadia, Yukon, or Yukon XL. Go to DinsdaleTrucks.com today.
Tom Dinsdale, your truck destination.
When you need power, think Husker Power Products, your full-service irrigation engine headquarters. Husker Power Products is your provider of GM natural gas and propane engines, Isuzu diesel, all customized for your application. A business backed by fast response, service when you need it, and straightforward answers. Think locally owned and operated Husker Power Products when you need power. Located at 2955 West Highway 6 in Hastings or online at HuskerPowerProducts.com.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on ESPN Radio, getting ready for the opening round of the Class D1 playoffs. A rematch, Ansley Litchfield and Amherst, and with that 32-team field, that happens a lot more than with the 16-team field. And we're talking with Coach A.J. Berkey of the Warriors. And Coach, I don't think your program, your kids probably matter. They are so glad to get things turned around there for the Warriors. They've got to be on cloud nine almost.
I think so, too. I think the boys are very excited for the opportunity to be in the playoffs. And you know, last year we had our bumps and bruises along the way, but, you know, that's all part of the learning experience, and they were able to take from that year. And you know, we've gotten things kind of turned around, I guess you could say, and got us back on the right track.
What would you say, because when you think, if you've been living in this area long enough, when you think Ansley, boy, you think Coach Dan Moore and all the years that they won, and even when you think Litchfield, they were winning six-man championships. What did it take to get this team together after the bumps and bruises, as you put it, the last couple years?
You know, the boys have actually always kind of worked together well, just kind of making that transition. I know it might sound silly, but making the transition from D2 for both teams up to D1, and with everybody kind of, you're seeing a lot of schools that have been traditionally C2 schools now playing in the D1 field as well, just kind of getting us on the right page and bringing our level of play up just in general. But you know, with those bumps and bruises that we've taken the last couple of years, we've gained a lot of experience and kind of know the type of football we have to play in order to be competitive and be successful.
We're talking with A.J. Berkey. He's the head football coach at Ansley Litchfield. Let's start with the injury that your quarterback, Michael Shoemaker, received last time that you guys played just 2 weeks ago. What's the situation there?
As far as it goes, I think he's going to be good to go. We're going to have him get the start. You know, we'll try to minimize what he does, just to ensure that he stays healthy throughout the entire game and that we're able to utilize him throughout the entire game. As far as game plan, though, I don't foresee us having to make any changes to kind of accommodate him in general. So, you know, we'll just do what we do, and but in turn try to kind of minimize him, keep him out of situations that are going to get him banged up.
As far as what you want to do offensively, you obviously want to run the football, but you've almost completely gotten away from the passing game, which you actually tried to utilize the first two games of the season. Was it not working? Or did you just find that the running game was much better because you didn't have to throw it last week and it didn't work very well against Amherst last time?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we want to be able to throw the ball. And I expect us to throw the ball more. When Michael did go out, it kind of forced us, I guess, if you will, to abandon our passing game or our passing plan, because we had some things that we wanted to take advantage of, and we just really weren't able to take advantage of those things against Amherst when Mike went out, because we were trying to set some things up. And so we're going to try to start that off a little bit sooner this week than we did the first time when we played Amherst. And yeah, like you said, you know, our goal last week in playing Central Valley was to run the ball. We felt like we were going to be able to run the ball, and as the game progressed on, we knew we would be successful. So it was kind of like, don't go away from what's working.
Take us back to the Amherst game last time. You give Amherst all they wanted. It's 7-0 at halftime. It's a physical football game. A couple of turnovers for you guys. As you look at that, are you confident that you can fix those problems in this game tonight?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, we've looked at and talked about all week is, you know, first off, we get a great opportunity that not a lot of teams get to face somebody that you've already lost to once, and you kind of get to avenge that loss or get the opportunity to avenge that loss. And, you know, we've looked at things that we did well in the game against Amherst and things we didn't do so well. And so we've really focused in on trying to take advantage of those things or fix those things that we didn't do well so that we can put ourselves in a better position to get the victory.
A couple of minutes left here with A.J. Berkey, the head football coach at Ansley Litchfield. What were the things that you did do well? How did you hold them to 7 points in that first half? Because then last week they went to the aerial assault and they were chucking it all over with Burwell.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I don't expect anything different probably in that aspect of it. I think more than anything, we were able just to play sound fundamental defense the last time we played. You know, we've talked about all week, Amherst is a big play team. You know, if we can eliminate or limit the amount of big plays they have, the better off we'll be. And in turn, when they did score against us the last time we played, they got them on big plays. You know, and big plays are the killer. And so our goal this week is to, again, force them to drive the ball down the field, force them to make long, sustained drives and not give up those big plays.
Well, you got some football names on this team, especially defensively, and that's what I keep hearing about your team. Even though you can score, your defense is going to let the other team know that they played a tough football game. I mean, you got Haas and you got Bo, and we've heard the name Slingsby around there before. Talk about those two guys and what they mean to your team.
You know, they do. Those two guys do a really a great job of kind of getting everybody where they need to be. But in turn, a lot of credit goes to our D line jamming up and plugging holes, forcing the other team to, especially on the run, cut it back and kind of get out of their game. And so our D line has made Bo and Haas's job a lot easier in the fact that it kind of gives those guys free rein to fly around and get to the ball because they're doing such a good job covering up the other, you know, 4 to 5 gaps.
Talk about up front a little bit here. You told me that you're going to rotate the ends and running backs, and you've got enough talent there to do that. Is it pretty solid on the guys you got up front on the line?
You know, it is. It is, and we'll look to move some guys in and out as well on both the offensive or excuse me on the defensive line just to kind of keep guys fresh. I think we've got the guys to do it, and as long as we can keep people fresh, the longer we can keep people fresh, the better they're going to be able to play for us for an entire 4 quarters.
Finally, AJ, these kids are in a spot they haven't been before. Nerves can be there, a team that has beat them. They're happy that they're in the playoffs. What do you got to do to make sure that you can get this win and advance to the second round?
You know, we just have to play. One, we have to play our game. Two, we have to eliminate the mistakes that we had in the last game where we played against them, penalties and big plays that they did score on. But we're very confident in what we're going to be able to do and our game plan going into the game. So we're pretty excited. Not only that, you know, we kind of talked all week, and especially yesterday we even talked about it in the fact that we were we're excited that we're in, and it's a great place to be, but there's still a job to be done. We can't just be happy with being in the playoffs. The playoffs are, you're playing for something bigger than just a record or whatever. You're playing for the opportunity to keep advancing. And, you know, and the ultimate goal for everybody of the 32 teams is to make it to Lincoln. And so, you know, we're looking at it as we're excited to be here, but we still have a job to do.
All right, AJ. Hey, we'll see how the Warriors play in this rematch tonight on ESPN. We appreciate the time. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's AJ Berkey, head football coach at Ansley Litchfield. We'll chat with Ron Evans, the head coach of the Amherst Broncos, when the New Tech Seed pregame show continues after this.
Hi, I'm Sally McCann with AgXL, your liquid fertilizer application experts in Kearney, Nebraska. Harvest is coming to an end, which means a planting season is right around the corner. What if I told you that I could help increase your yields next year? Well, I can if you let AgXL design a system for you. Stop in our Kearney showroom or on the web at agxcel.com or call me, Sally McCann, at AgXL. That's AgXCEL, where precision meets the soil.
At Broadfoot Sand and Gravel of Kearney, we've been moving and building your earth for years. Broadfoot produces and delivers sand and gravel and specializes in excavation, dirt work, site preparation, demolition, and snow removal with two pit locations to save you time and money. Call Broadfoot Sand and Gravel today. Whether you need a little rock or a lot for landscaping, driveway building, business, or residential, Broadfoot is the only name you need. Let the professionals move and improve the earth for you.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on ESPN Radio, getting ready for the opening round of the state football playoffs. As we said, Amherst and Ansley Litchfield, a rematch from just a couple of weeks back. Coach Ron Evans joins us here. And Coach, not everybody loves the rematch, but I suppose you like the rematch if you were the winner the first time.
Well, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's a little harder to win that second game because, you know, you get a little more familiar and your kids maybe don't get up for it as much as they should. But I don't think that's going to be the situation in this case. I think we'll be ready to go.
In the media, we always look for storylines. There's a couple of easy ones with you guys right now, mimicking what you did last year. 7-0, got beat by Lawrence Nelson, one possession game. Same thing last week in a game that was totally different than any you'd played all year.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, we hadn't been in a true four-quarter game all year long. You know, the way your schedule's set up, you just have to play who's on your schedule, and we didn't really get tested until right at the end, and, you know, we kind of got tripped up there, and then just like last year, we made some mistakes and didn't play as well as we could have and got beat and got a seed that was a little higher than we would like, so we made our journey just a little tougher, if it wasn't tough enough already.
How is that going to spur you on? I guess the silver lining is last year the same thing happened. You made it to the state semifinals. Is that a rallying cry, or how do you view that?
Well, we look at it as an opportunity. We kind of, you know, we messed up, but all we can do is just play the teams that are put ahead of us in the schedule, you know, in the playoffs, and hopefully we can keep getting better defensively, offensively, special teams, and quit making the silly mistakes that are hurting us. And, you know, we think we can play with everybody that's out there. You know, don't know if we can beat them all, but I think we can give them all a go. So, you know, there's always a shot. We got to take this first one and take care of it first.
You had more mistakes last week, and I think that's the easy thing to point at as how Burwell was able to win the football game. Were there other items that hadn't, stepped up and bitten you that you have to address?
Well, we had some cramping issues in late October that were problematic on a couple of our players that usually in late October it's cool and you don't have that cramping aspect, but I guess when everybody's throwing the ball all over the place and kids are running a lot more and playing four quarters, that popped up and got us and hurt us a little bit. We had some kids that were, you know, we needed to be in there, couldn't be in there because they were cramped up.
You throw the ball 30 times in the game, and that's more than you almost half as much as you had all year long. Did you like what you saw from the passing game?
Oh yeah, there were plays there, and you know, and we've made some great catches, and we made some great throws, and Trey didn't have one interception. You know, he threw six touchdowns, and his percentage wasn't great, but we did drop some of them that were there, so that was problematic, and we worked on that this week. And also, we had some kids made some really good catches against tough coverage too. So, you know we can throw the ball. We just have to make sure we make the right decisions and then hold on to it when we catch it.
Ron Evans, head football coach at Amherst, joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Coach, when you went back and watched the film, did you like what you guys were doing play calling? Did you think you got away from the run game a little bit, or did you like what you saw?
Well, you know, in the beginning of the game, we start off, we were running the ball real well, and they were playing their base defense, what we thought they were going to do. Then they switched to a different defense. They kind of went with more two linebackers in the middle and really were really stuffing, trying to take away the run. And, you know, it's hard to run the ball when they got 7-8 guys up there in the box. So we kind of had to start throwing a little bit to loosen them up. Well, they never loosened up, and we kept throwing it and kept catching passes and touchdowns, so we just kept at it. Kind of went away from it a little earlier than I wanted to, but once they made that switch and started playing us to stop the run, we had to throw the ball.
Ron Bray neck out, it looked, I think I saw the play where he got injured, got rolled up on, and it was defensively. You had to limit him in the second half, not only receiving, but he was your punter. You got one blocked. What's his status for this week?
I think he's fine. You never know. He was out there running around yesterday like he was all right. Nothing was happening. We kept asking him, and he seems to be okay. But you never know with those thoroughbreds. Sometimes they'll come up lame on you at the darndest time. So, and then it was a lot of cramping. He was one of them that was cramping up pretty hard, too.
Ron Evans with us for another minute here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. You were in a 7-0 battle at halftime just 2 weeks ago with Ansley Litchfield. This is a team that has gotten away almost completely from the passing game when they did against you. You took care of that, so looks like they're one-dimensional a little bit. What can you say about the first half versus the second half the last time you played them?
Well, last time we played them, we shot ourselves in the foot multiple times with penalties, turnovers. We had 2 turnovers in the first half, fumbles that were, you know, kind of unforced, and, you know, kept them out of the end zone, fortunately. But our offensive drive just got stalled over and over again by turnovers and penalties. And once we stopped doing that in the second half, we were able to run the ball effectively and, you know, throw a couple passes over the top. But I'm looking for pretty much the same thing. We're just going to try to clean up our area and maybe score a couple more touchdowns in the first half.
Were they the most physical team you played this year?
Yeah, they're very physical. Yeah, they've got good physical kids that play hard, and their defensive scheme is sound. They've got good coaching, and it's one of those where you sometimes it's tough just to run right at them because they're very, very, very physical up front. So we'll have to do some things a little different, maybe start one way and go another, and maybe throw over the top a little bit on them, kind of loosen them up.
Last question, Ron Evans, head football coach at Amherst. I want to go right back to where we started the interview. Same situation, basically, you put yourself and your football team was in last year. What's the biggest difference as you start the playoff run this year as to what you were doing last year?
Well, I guess D1 versus D2, that's a big difference there, especially in the West this year. You know, the D1 quality in the West is tremendous, you know, because we got Fullerton in our West bracket and Creighton in there, big physical run teams, and sometimes we've struggled to stop the run. We can do it, but it takes a little work. So, you know, if we get by Ansley, we've got to beat a good rushing team in Fullerton, which we can do if we tackle well and block well in the situation, and that might set us up with a date with Hemingford. So we're not afraid of the challenge. We just kind of put ourselves in a situation that maybe it's not necessarily the road we want to take, but it's the one we got to stay on. So we'll see what we can do.
Well, definitely, if you get as far as last year or farther, you will have earned it, Ron. So let's get her started tonight. Best of luck. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yeah, you bet, Doug. Thank you.
That's Amherst head football coach Ron Evans joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. The starting lineups and more when we return.
Now's the time to get in touch with Craig Weegis, your Pioneer sales professional, to learn about the early pay savings program options. There's still time to choose from 2 payment periods, each with its own level of savings. Whichever you select, you'll get the financial rewards of using industry-leading products and technologies. Act before November 20th to take advantage of the 10% cash discount from DuPont Pioneer. For more information, contact your local Pioneer sales professional, Craig Weegis. Science with service, delivering success.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show. Doug Gooda, Larry Baker, as we are just moments away from kicking off the playoffs here in Amherst as they take on Ansley Litchfield Spartans. Let's take a look at the starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. First off for Ansley Litchfield at center, number 66, 6'2", 225-pound junior, Landon Rohde. The guards, number 40, 5'10", 185-pound junior, Grady Stunkel. And number 62, 5'10", 175-pound senior, Tanner Hawkins. The starting ends tonight, number 9, 5'11", 150-pound senior, Bo Slingsby. And number 42, 6'2", 200-pound sophomore, Brady Rohde. The fullback is number 3, 5'11", 175-pound sophomore, Haas Smith. At IMAC, number 21, 5'11", 170-pound junior, Evan Brockmeyer. And the quarterback, number 17, 6', 160-pound junior, Michael Shoemaker. Now you'll see Marshall Coles and Caleb Unick rotate in at the end. You'll see some of James Mills in the backfield as well tonight. The head coach for Ansley Litchfield is A.J. Berkey, assisted by Brent Kratzer, Cannon Balvelt, Jeff Smith, and Jake Stokely. 5-3 on the season for Ansley Litchfield. Ansley Litchfield lost on opening night to Sandhills Thedford. They were defeated by Burwell, and then the loss to Amherst. So three losses to teams that are deep chances to go into the playoffs and very good seeds in Class D1. Sandhills Thedford in Class D2. Now the starting lineup for the Amherst Broncos. The center, number 54, 205-pound senior, Peyton Shockey. The guard, number 42, 5'10", 195-pound senior, Jacob Martinson. And number 56, 6'1", 275-pound senior, Tanner Hercock. At the ends, number 27, 5'11", 160-pound junior, Braden Eckout. And number 29, 6'1", 175-pound junior, Ty Hadwiger. The fullback, number 20, 5'8", 160-pound senior, Devin Dibbern. The I-back, number 10, 5'10", 160-pound junior, Colton Burke. And the quarterback, number 3, 5'10", 175-pound junior, Trey Tobenheim. The head coach of the Amherst Broncos, Ron Evans, assisted by Cody Gillespie, Eric Rippon, and Joe Radke. Amherst is 7-1 on the season. Their only loss last week, 52-48 to Burwell, who's also 7-1. Amherst ranked 10th in Class D1. And that is a look at the starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. Injuries outside of Michael Shoemaker coming back for Ansley Litchfield. You've got to take a look at his shoulder, see how things go there. Brant Florell and Morgan Ostendorf have continued to be out for a significant portion of the season for Amherst. Your injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center gets you back into the game of life with two locations in Kearney. Larry, real quickly, nice that there aren't a lot of injuries when you get to this point of the season.
Yeah, no question. When you get here, you want to be full tilt and be full speed. And both teams, for the most part, here are.
Well, coming up, the national anthem will be performed, and then we'll be ready to kick it off. Ansley Litchfield won the coin toss. They deferred, so Amherst will be on offense first and try and get some of those big plays going like they did in the first game, especially in the second half. Hold on to the ball in the first half, hit some big plays. Those will be the difference as we get ready for tonight's football game. Don't forget, you're listening to KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings, and online, as always, at PlatteRiverPreps.com. That's PlatteRiverPreps.com. Also, Lawrence Nelson and Giltner on the Breeze, 94.5, Kennesaw Meridian on Classic Hits, 98.9. That is all on our airwaves tonight as well. Blue Hill a winner, Shelton was defeated earlier today. We'll take a break. You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your yield leader. Contact Terry and Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. It's Amherst and Ansley Litchfield when we come back with the state playoffs here on ESPN Radio.
Do you have a passion for athletics? Are you a former high school or college athlete looking for ways to stay involved? The Nebraska School Activities Association is asking you to grab a whistle. Officials are needed in every high school activity and are essential to the future of the game. Visit NSAAhome.org for more information. Grab a whistle and contact the NSAA to get registered.
For all
all your custom slaughtering and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats has everything you need to fill your freezer with locally raised beef and pork. From steaks, roast, and hamburger, why go anywhere else when you have the best meat right here in Amherst? Belschner is a very proud supporter of all of our youth and their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in and out of the game.
No matter where you are, even out in this cornfield, when you work with CHS, you're connected. Connected to global grain buyers and food companies. Connected to dependable energy at the pump, at home, and on the job. Connected to food ingredients tailored to your specific needs. Whether it's in energy, grains, or foods, you're connected. CHS. Resources for enriching lives.
Time to take a look at tonight's field conditions, brought to you by your Pioneer seed professional, Craig Weeches. Pioneer knows more about field conditions with top yielding Pioneer brand soybeans. With Craig Weeches, your Pioneer seed dealer, science with service, delivering success. And again, we are at that point right now, Larry, where weather has not really been much of a factor. The fields get chewed up from enough home games, but this is only the fifth home game of the football season for Amherst. And you look at what's going on here, the field's in good shape, it's got that crown. The sun is down earlier in the season. That can be a problem in the first quarter. But the wind, it's not the field. It's the wind that could be a factor. You got an east-west field here, and it is blowing across this field.
Yeah, and the field looks and is in great shape. But I think this wind could be a factor. Ansley Litchfield's going to want to throw it a little bit, Doug, and this wind will absolutely affect that. I look for Amherst in this first series. I looked at him a little bit in the pregame, talked to coach. I've coached against him several times. Sometimes he can be a mad scientist. And you'll see some stuff you hadn't seen all year. I anticipate them to get in lots of spread, run lots of jet, and try to really take advantage of the speed advantage.
That's our field condition report brought to you by Craig Weeches, your Pioneer seed professional. Pioneer knows more about field conditions with top-yielding Pioneer brand soybeans. Craig Weeches, your Pioneer seed dealer, science with service, delivering success. And of course, Ansley Litchfield will kick it off with the wind at their back as we get ready to start high school football here tonight. Some cramping were the issues. We talked about Eck out last week. I thought maybe he had his ankle rolled up on it. Turned out to just be cramps, and so it sounds like everybody is back and ready to go for tonight's football game. The ball's on the tee. And we are underway. It's going to be a low squib kick that is going to be picked up and just falling on it at the 17-yard line. It's going to be the Amherst Broncos picking it up there. It was Holden Eck out, just a freshman. He could have got up and ran with it, but he wanted to make sure no mistakes early on here in the playoffs being a freshman.
No question. And I like tonight as a coach, that's exactly what you asked for, Doug.
State football playoffs on ESPN Radio, brought to you in part by Tom Dinsdale Automotive at the corner of Stolle Park and South Webb Road in Grand Island. And DinsdaleAuto.com. And look at this. Brand new formation with eight offensive players. Four of them are stacked out to the right side. And in motion is Eck out. On the jet sweep, they fake it, throw it out here in the flat to Burke. He's got it complete. Makes a tackle at the 20, and he'll be tripped up at the 25, 26-yard line. That's going to be a nice 8-yard gain on the opening play.
Look for Ron to come back to that here. Look for Amherst to come back. They go quads to the field there, Doug. And Ansley Litchfield did not adjust. They motioned one guy out. The numbers advantage was there to throw the bubble.
You got to do a couple of different things when you have rematches. Four wide again. Out of the shotgun is Toppenheim this time. Twins left and right. Short little pass out here. Complete to Hadwiger. On the right side, tries to cut it back towards the middle of the field. A strong-thighed young man breaks a tackle and has the first down to the 31-yard line. It's only a 5-yard gain, but where he caught it, they almost had him wrapped up.
Yeah, Bo Slingsby for Ansley Litchfield does a really nice job making a tackle. He's one of their leading tacklers on the team, Doug. Amherst not going to huddle. Going to go fast here. Going to get in a little 2-by-1.
Just underway, a minute into the ball game, opening drive. This time, Twins to the left, and in motion this time, Willie Burke fake it. Toppenheim wants to keep it on a quarterback, running around the left end. He makes one man miss on the edge, then he's into the secondary and down the sidelines. 40, 30, and it'll be brought down at the 26-yard line of Ansley Litchfield.
Yeah, Doug, and number 20, Devin Dibbern for Amherst there, made a great block. Before Toppenheim ever got out of the backfield, you knew that thing was going to be big. Dibbern just buried the defensive back there.
22-yard gain for Colton Burke, and the offense is underway. I really kind of thought Amherst got away from that run game last week, which was successful against Burwell, and then they just could never get it clicked again. A lot of passing almost half as much as they had all year. A quarterback keeper, Tommenheim, this time he's going to be popped in the backfield, throws him off his line from Evan Brockmeyer, and a short play this time, the best defensive play of Ansley Litchfield.
Yeah, and this is kind of textbook Ron Evans here. He's going to roll it out, make it look like it's pass, tell your kids with an Amherst deal, read the quarterback with the ball right there. Tobenheim tucked it immediately. It's going to be run all the way.
Loss of one, second and 11 at the 27 of Ansley Litchfield. Tobenheim, empty backfield, wants to go deep, throws it as far as he can. It's a jump ball, but it's caught, and it's a touchdown for Braden Neckout. And it didn't take long to get down the football field, notch it up from 27 yards away, 6-0, 90 seconds in.
That's one thing I will say is Braden Eckout, I don't know that Ansley Litchfield's got somebody that can stay with him down the field, but that's the tough part is you know you have that weapon, Doug, so you want to use it, but it also gets you away from what you're really good at, and that's running the ball. Getting that big completion there will make them maybe want to come back to it, but it's the run game that sets that up.
And now they will attempt the extra point. Trevor Adelung, not a problem with the strength of this left-footed kicker. He'll be kicking into the wind, though. High snap. They get it down. The kick is low, and the kick does get over the crossbar, and it is good. So with 10:32 to go here in the first quarter of play, Amherst strikes on their opening drive. The Broncos 7, Ansley Litchfield nothing. They'll get the ball when we come back.
Brian Trampy is a very proud supporter of all area sports. Ever wonder what sets Channel Seed products apart from other seed? It's a direct connection to Monsanto, a company consistently recognized as a leader in seed and trait technology. Tested globally, locally, and then combined with the latest traits and treatments to ensure performance potential on your acres. Thanks to the farmers, Channel Seed is now the third largest seed corn brand and fourth largest soybean seed brand in the country. Best of luck to all the athletes today from Ryan Trampy, your Channel Seed dealer.
At Nebraska Land National Bank, we love local. Local people, local decisions, and local ownership. We want our community to grow and prosper. That's why we are focused on providing you with high-quality, personalized service at a competitive price to help you reach your financial goals. Nebraska Land National Bank is proud to call Kearney home and provide our community with the very best in banking. Member FDIC.
Nebraska Land National.
And Amherst ready to boot this way, and Adelung is going to go with a short little pooch kick that bounces, and Ansley Litchfield, same thing as Amherst, they're just going to dive on it and cover it back inside the 20 at about the 18-yard line, trying to make sure that there's no mistakes, and now the Spartans will get their first offensive possession. But the key thing to remember here is even though there were turnovers in the first game and some big plays that Amherst hit, Ansley Litchfield didn't score.
No, that's exactly right. And I think one of the things is Ansley Litchfield is tough. And you will see that right away here.
They'll line up with the two backs, go with a little crossbuck action, and trying to get some positive yards. Not much going to be going on there.
No, Doug, number 20, Devin Dibbern, their Amherst leading tackler, does a great job filling there.
Evan Brockmeyer, give him a gain. Excuse me, give him a gain of 3 on the play. A little wind rolling in here, as we told you, will be affecting the game possibly. Ansley Litchfield lining up with their quarterback. Michael Shoemaker got knocked out of the last game. Split backs, toss sweep right side, trying to get to the corner. That's going to be James Mills, and Mills is going to be shoved out of bounds near the first down marker. Going to be short at about the 24-yard line, it looks like.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, Trey Tobenheim jumped off the roof there coming down from that safety spot, Doug. He really laid a lick on him.
So a 5-yard gain will bring up third down and 2.
Ansley Litchfield's completely on schedule here.
So Haas Smith back there with Brockmeyer. And quick on the snap. The ball is going to go straight up the middle on a fullback dive. And it's going to be very close here for Haas Smith. Looks like he's going to get the first down as they mark him at about the 27, 28-yard line. A gain of 4 for Smith. That was a weird-looking play. It looked like everybody stood still, and Haas Smith took off the handed it to him. And the center, the quarterback, and Smith were about the only three guys that moved on the offense for Ansley Litchfield. Now they'll split the backs again, staying under center. They'll go with a counter here to the outside. Smith makes a man miss, cuts back, dives across the 30 out to about the 34-yard line. Good gain on the play.
Yeah, Eckout for Amherst does a nice job there, Doug. He funnels the thing back inside. But here again, Ansley Litchfield's completely on schedule. Gain of 5 or 6 here. I like what they're doing. Amherst is going to be tough. They're going to score points tonight. If you're Angie Litchfield, you want to kind of play slobber knocker ball here a little bit and be tough.
They'll go pistol formation. Quick snap, rolling to his right. Shoemaker wants to throw, still rolling, still rolling. Now finally fires it into traffic. It's picked off. Colton Burke at the 35-yard line. Shoemaker waiting, 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 and threw it into traffic. And Colton Burke comes away with the interception.
Yeah, and Colton Burke's been huge for Amherst all year. Numbers are all over the place with his mark on this team. But I think there's the thing, Doug. You've matriculated this thing. You're in great shape again. You get away a little bit from what had gotten you here. You throw the pick, got the neck here, and not let Amherst just bury you in the first quarter here.
Anthony Litchfield had a nice drive going, and then the first turnover. 7-0 Amherst, 9-11 to go here in the first quarter of play. Out of the shotgun, empty backfield. Swing it out here to Hadwiger. Complete at the line of scrimmage. He'll drag men forward for a gain of 5 to the 40-yard line.
Doug, that was out of a 2-by-2 set there where the receivers, there's two on each side. They're not going with the inside flex receiver. They threw that now screen to the number one. I expect to see a bubble to number two here at some part. They're not covering him.
Mills had the tackle, trips right, want to go deep left, trying to go all for Eckhout, and it's off his fingertips. Chasing him from behind, Michael Shoemaker. And, boy, that was a well-thrown ball into the wind here, remember, for Amherst, and that's their first incompletion.
And here's the deal. You saw it again. Eckhout is 3 to 4 steps behind the defense, but now you're third down. You got to be a little careful. You know you have the matchup, but stay with who you are. It's very hard to do as a coach.
Out of the shotgun, Tobenheim has two backfield running backs. He still wants to throw, pressure coming, and he avoids it all. Now he steps up, makes a man miss, trying to get the first down, and he's going to do it almost all on his own. There were 6 Spartans back there, Larry. How did he get through all that? But he did, as he'll take it up to the 30-yard line of Ansley Litchfield.
Pretty slippery there, Doug. He did a great job. That thing was on his own. There were a lot of trouble coming his way.
10-yard gain, move the sticks, and they're ready to go again. Burke and Dibbern flanking the shotgun of Tobenheim. And they'll hand it off for the first time. Dibbern trying to go from right to left, gets the corner, but here comes a penalty flag. Devin Dibbern is headed to the end zone, but it will not count.
No, that's coming back for sure.
He got into the end zone for what would have been a 30-yard touchdown and would have made this a 13-14-0 football game, but multiple penalty flags come out as he hit the corner, and you always know what that call is going to be.
Yeah, the tough thing is, Doug, he'd already turned the corner. The edge was set, and he turned the corner when it happened. It didn't affect the play, didn't need to.
So a hold, the first penalty of the ball game. Remember last week against Burwell, we had one total penalty in the first half, and then we ended up with like 10 in the fourth quarter. It was up and down the field. The guys were getting tired. They were behind. They were grabbing. They were losing concentration on both teams. A 3-hour football game. You just never see that at high school. Of course, when the teams combine to throw it nearly 60 times, that's going to happen. 7-0 Amherst, 8:18 to go, first quarter. First down and 20 now at midfield. Tobenheim back to pass, has all day. Going to crank up and throw it deep down the middle of the field again. And this time it's caught and dropped by Eckhout. He was bringing it down to his waist, and it slid right through. And I'll tell you what, Larry, I watched this last week, and they started out a little bit here throwing it underneath. Tobenheim hit his first 4 passes, including the 27-yarder. But they fall in love with the deep bomb because Eckhout can get behind you. But it's all or nothing, and it cost him last week against Burwell, even though he threw 6 touchdown passes.
Yeah, it's tough, Doug, as a coach.
2nd and 20. Back to pass again. 3-step drop. 2-man rush. Tobenheim steps up. Throws before he crosses the line of scrimmage. Good coverage, and it's incomplete. Intended for Colton Burke. James Mills on the coverage there.
I'll just tell you, as a play caller, Doug, here's what makes it tough. You know you have the matchup. You know from an X's and O's standpoint and all that stuff on the dry erase board, the way you draw it up is the way it's going to be. But it's still a high school football game. It's hard to pitch it and catch it. Amherst speed, they can run the ball here if they want to.
And that's exactly, our buddy Bob Jensen says, how tough it is to cover the pass at high school football. Well, when you can run by guys, that's even tougher. There's not a whole lot of underneath routes that these guys will run. 3rd and 20. Tobenheim back all day again. Steps up, fires over the middle. It's caught by Hadwiger. He breaks a tackle. He stretches for the 20, and it looks like he's got enough for the first down. There's a play I didn't see at all last week. Settling down, Hadwiger, a 21-yard reception, and that's a backbreaker for the Spartans. It would have been a punt into the wind had they been able to knock that down.
Yeah, the tough piece there, Doug, is Ansley Litchfield's got to send more pressure. They allowed him to stand back there. They're trying to play big zone. And when you play big zone, it allows the receiver a chance to sit down in one of those holes.
First and 10 at the Spartan 19. Amherst on the move again after converting third and 20. Burked in motion, fake the jet sweep. Quarterback keeper Tomenheim tried to strip the ball and almost did. A very minimal gain on him that time was Brady Rohde. And he just tried to yank that ball out of Tomenheim's hands. And it is a very, very short gain. In fact, we're going to call it no gain, second and 10.
And this has been Amherst kryptonite, turning the ball over.
That's what slowed them down in the game before, two first-half turnovers, and it was 7-0 halftime. Second down, 10 yards to go. In motion out of the left slot again is Burke. Fake it to him and rolling left, wanting to throw to the end zone. He's got Hadwiger. He fires it, and it is caught. Touchdown, Braden Eckhout. Both guys were open. Hadwiger in the middle of the field. Eckhout going to the corner. And a touchdown, number two through the air, 13-0.
Yeah, and Eckhout ran a post corner there, and the ball really was late, but made a nice pitch and catch. He'd run the post corner and actually had come out of his break and was backpedaling into it.
They'll line up for the Adelung extra point, quickly get it up in the air. And this kick is up and in just inside the left upright. So Amherst is moving quickly. And Ansley Litchfield is already down 14-0 with 7:06 to go here in the first quarter. We'll be right back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life with two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation, a very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Larry Baker joins me, Doug Duda, here from the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth. 14-0 Amherst. Couldn't ask for much more right now.
No, if you're Amherst, it's going exactly the way you want it to. If you're Ansley Litchfield, commit to the run. When you did it early in your first series, you were successful. Ansley Litchfield has to find a way to get that clock to run, shorten this game, slow it down, and be successful on those drives. And if they don't do that, Amherst is going to run them out of this thing. They've got to find a way to be successful running the ball and stick to it here.
Short kick, and again, going down to a knee to pick the football up this time is Ben Schrock, and no return. They're not getting advantage of the ball being kicked into the wind, going down to pick it up twice. So first down and 10 for Ansley Litchfield, finding themselves down 14-0.
Yeah, got to run the ball here. I think they'll come back to it. Without question. If they're going to throw it, they almost need to spread the thing out a little bit, but I think they're going to run it here.
Pistol formation with the quarterback Shoemaker, a name that everybody knows at Ansley Litchfield. Counterplay right up the middle, hit hard, is going to be Evan Brockmeyer. And they'll take the 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and they were doing it on the first drive before turning it over, but they score off a turnover and converting third and 20. Ansley Litchfield had chances. I mean, we could be at a 7-7 ball game.
Well, the way that drive was going, it looked like it, Doug. Cale Pribble there makes a great tackle for Amherst. There was somewhat of a hole there, like he's supposed to do, and if he misses that tackle, they're off and running.
State football playoffs brought to you by Husker Power Products, irrigation and industrial engines, pumps and generators, huskerpowerproducts.com. And as they try to get it to the outside again, there's nothing there, Larry.
Now, the thing is, they're running a ton of misdirection here where they haven't run the straight ahead first. You know, you want to run ISO, power, blast, that kind of stuff before you start running counter and counter trap and that kind of stuff, and they're doing it a little bit in the reverse, so you may see maybe a power or an ISO go here.
Ansley Litchfield doesn't have the speed to get to the edge, but if they can get the shoulder down, they've got the power to run over. A gain of 3, it's third down and 6. A little option veer, and they're going to hand it off on a play up the middle, and Amherst was not fooled. A little shovel pass as they threw it up the middle there. First pass completion, but it's only good for about a yard and a half, maybe two. Will be generous and call it fourth and 4.
Yeah, and here you've got to get a stop. 21-0 in the first quarter is no good. You've got to get a stop.
So fourth and 4, a different-looking punting formation here. Shoemaker to punt it away. Low snap. He bobbles it. It's on the ground. He's tackled. He was sandwiched back there by a pair of Amherst Broncos. One of them is Ty Hadwiger. And let me double check if that's Preble is the other one.
Preble.
Yes, it is. And so disaster, a pick, and then a bobbled punt snap.
Yeah, and the snap just rolled right back to him. He never really had a chance to get a hold of it. We'll see. I think Amherst probably runs the thing here, and they line up tight for the first time tonight, Doug.
It'll be at the 14-yard line. First down and 10. Under center is Taubenheim. Pitch play, right side, trying to follow his quarterback is Dibbern. He drags Spartan defenders. The ball popped out, and it's covered by Ansley Litchfield. The ball was popped out from behind. Shoemaker covers it, and the Spartans' prayer is answered right there. They needed something good to happen, or they were going to be on the wrong side of 21-0.
That's exactly right, because that was a great run. Dibbern did a great job, put his head down and went there, and they just ripped it out on him. And again, we talked about this. Amherst, if they're going to go forward in these playoffs, Doug, they've got to protect the football.
Looks like they're going to mark the ball. Scoreboard says the 3, so we'll go with that. So Shoemaker with the fumble recovery. And now on first down, they're going to hand it off again. Haas-Smith can't get that. It's not even lose a yard back to the 2.
Just not sure on that, Doug. There's no lead blocker, and it looks like they're trying to get it in the C-gap without a puller. And Amherst is able to just slant right into it. They're slanting straight into it, and the backers are filling.
Second down, we'll call it 11 yards to go inside the 3-yard line here. So Dibbern got a lot more than it looked like on the original run when he popped that ball out from behind. Back against their own goal line, Shoemaker under center. He'll turn. He'll hand it off to the first man through. Bodies move towards the 6, towards the 7. Haas-Smith carrying the football again. The young sophomore able to get positive yardage about 5. So from 2nd and 11 to 3rd and 6.
Yeah, this is where you sometimes, as a play caller, maybe, you know, you think about throwing the ball down the field here a little bit.
Well, they would love to get a first down. They haven't been able to take advantage of the wind at their back. And if you think you can throw 2 touchdown passes into the wind, if you're Amherst, what are you going to do when it's behind your back? They're down in 6 at their own 8-yard line. Ansley Litchfield going to keep it on the ground, and that's just a fullback dive. Smith is going to be across the 10 and right at that first down marker. Again, they're just blasting it up there and trying to use their power, and they needed 6, and they're going to bring in the chains here. I think from the foot, it looks like he's got it. The chain gang bringing out the chains, just like Kearney Towing and Repair would do for you if you were stranded on the side of the road. No matter where, they'll get you home. Kearney Towing and Repair. What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think, Doug, I don't think it's a first down. I don't think it's a first down.
Yeah.
But I will be honest, this is going to sound nuts because I understand it's the 15-yard line. But if you're Ansley Litchfield, it's not a terrible idea to go at 6 inches. You've proven you can get 6 inches. They haven't been stopped for a loss yet. And
you got the bigger boys up front.
Yeah, and Amherst has moved the ball, whether it's been at their own 20 or your 20, you know what I mean?
Well, the thing here, don't mess around, take a penalty, burn a timeout. Make your decision and do it. And it looks like they're going to line up and go for it. This could be a game changer right here. They got away with a fumble recovery. Everybody's in the box. They'll turn. They'll hand a fullback dive up the middle. It's going to be a first down for Ansley Litchfield. It was just massive humanity in the middle there as they just got on the back of Haas-Smith and pushed him through for that first down.
Well, yeah, and you've got big Tanner Hercock in there. He gets pushed back about 3 yards for Amherst. He's your big guy in there. You've got to have him fill that hole.
Looks like they'll move the ball about the 16-yard line. So Smith with a gain of 3, second first down of the first quarter here for Ansley Litchfield. Amherst 14, Ansley Litchfield nothing, 3:40 and counting. Here in the first quarter of the D1 playoffs, we'll look at a scoreboard update momentarily. Offset eye again, give it to the second man and then take it back. What a throw down the middle of the field. Smith's wide open, and it is off his fingertips. It was just underthrown enough that he had to slow down, and I think Devin Dibbern caught up and may have got a hand on it as it falls incomplete at the Spartan 30.
Yeah, it hit Haas-Smith right in both hands. That's the one you wanted. Now, see, I like that. Run the ball, and then take a shot like that where you can get somebody singled up.
Well, there's no doubt the Spartans are going to have to, if they want to pull the upset, they're going to have to convert those plays.
No question. When you have that opportunity, you have to convert because it may not come back, Doug.
Second down and 10 at their own 16-yard line. Send them in motion to the fullback. There's 3, 4, 5 Amherst Broncos always in on the tackle. And then Osmond gets out from underneath them all.
Could be interesting to see him try to get something to the perimeter here, Doug. We've seen no perimeter runs by Ansley Litchfield. I understand Amherst is fairly fast, but the way things have just gotten sucked in here, Amherst are sitting there really with about 20 backers, you know. They're stacked right over those guards. You may be able to get to the perimeter here.
Now you've got a passing situation, 3rd and 9 at their own 17-yard line. And they'll go up under center, no wideouts. They're going to hand it off again, and Amherst is all over this. A loss behind the line of scrimmage. In there to make the tackle is the young Eckout, and nowhere to go for Haas Smith that time. In fact, just getting back to the line of scrimmage.
And that was exactly what we just talked about. They down-blocked and the 20-backer. The guard down blocks and the 20 backer just fills right there. There's nobody there. Now, if you run that thing outside, the 20 backer does not have leverage.
This punt snap gets back to Shoemaker. A little pressure, and he squibs it off the side of his foot. He needs a good bounce, and he will not get it. It's going to bounce out of bounds. It did take a heck of a bounce forward, but it had been out of bounds at the 37-yard line, so only a 26-yard punt that time, but better, I guess, than the last one when they fumbled the snap. And it'll be 1st and 10 Amherst at their own 37, leading at 14-0, 2:15 to go here in the first quarter of play.
And all's, you know, not for naught there. They did get a first down, and they didn't have to punt the thing from the back of their end zone.
So now the trips, the quads again, the first play of the game. We saw this from Amherst. Empty backfield, 4 wideouts to the right side, and only 3 to cover over here. They'll swing it out to Eckout, try to block for him, makes one man miss, down the sideline, 40-35, follows Hadwiger's block and into Ansley Litchfield territory inside the 30. Another big play on a simple throw.
It's there all night, Doug. They're running a quad formation, and Ansley Litchfield's trying to cover 4 with 2 with a safety about 15 yards up over the top. I understand it's 8-man, so one of those guys, the inside guy, is not eligible, but he's still a blocker. It's just a long toss.
Yeah, we say there's 4 wideouts over here, but not really, because you got to have somebody up on the line there covered up. So a gain of 18. And under center, Taubenheim, he's got Dibbern behind him. Slot right, Burke, toss sweep, right side. Dibbern waits for the hole to open, and in on the tackle that time is Brady Rohde. Rohde didn't make the tackle on the quick little screen pass out here on the last play, and it ended up going for 18. Here he comes in and makes the tackle on Dibbern, who gains 1.
But Coach Evans is making it tough on you a little bit. You know, they're just kind of a single wing formation. He's going quad, 2x2, single wing. I mean, he's making you have a lot of different checks there if you're Ansley Litchfield.
Well, he's definitely going to some things that he hasn't had to use before. Now back out of the shotgun with his running backs flanking him on 2nd and 9 at the 24. Back to pass, Taubenheim out here to the right flat, caught by Hadwiger. There was a little comeback route at the 15, turns it up to the 10, and they're going to say his knee down at about the 11-yard line, but a first down and 13 more through the air for Amherst, who is looking very solid. Now, again, this is the start they got off to last week against Burwell, and then the couple of mistakes in the second quarter, and Burwell was ended up able to catch him, but Ansley Litchfield doesn't have the offensive threat that we saw for the Longhorns. 1st and 10, just outside the 10. Jet sweep, fake it. Taubenheim wants to go to the left side. It's all about the blocking. Preble lays one for him, puts his hand on his back, gets to the 5, gets into the end zone, touchdown. Great blocks all the way on the outside there. First it was Martinson. Preble was looking for somebody to block. He shoved a couple guys out of the way. Taubenheim just had his hand on his back and followed him into the end zone.
Yeah, they pulled them all there, Doug. That was just old student body. What would be like a toss sweep, but it went to the quarterback, and Ansley Litchfield was outnumbered there on the perimeter.
So for Trey Taubenheim, 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown run. Extra point all ready to go. It's on the way, and it is good. 1:15 to go here in the first quarter of play. 21-0 Amherst. We'll be right back.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Let's go quickly to our Valentino's scoreboard. Creighton 42, Twin Loop 7 in the third quarter. Neely Oakdale leads Elgin 7-0 in the first. Elm Creek over Arapahoe 13-6 in the First, Burwell has beaten Perkins County today by a score of 52-20. Hemingford over Shelton, Blue Hill over North Central earlier this afternoon. Fullerton at the half, 52-8 over Sutherland.
Oh, my goodness.
21-0 here. Amherst looking really good in the first quarter of play. Now let's see if Ansley Litchfield, you know, it doesn't do any good. We'll get to it as a short kick is taken at the 15. This time they field it 20, 25. Down the left sideline is Caleb Udick. He'll get across the 30 to about the 32, their best starting field position. You got to be in the game in the second half, Larry, to have the physicality work for you. You can't wear somebody down and be down by 21 points.
Part of what you have to do is stay calm here as a coach and know that because it's 21-0, they're going to make Amherst play the other three quarters.
Yeah.
You know, and what I mean is don't try to score 22 points here to end
quarter. Get a drive going. You know you can score, but they've went four, almost five quarters without scoring on them. And again, some trouble up the middle of the football field.
Center didn't snap it, but he went, and the center just held the ball, Doug.
So there you go. Center forgot the snap count. Hey, when that happens. It happens. And the five-yard penalty, that'll be the first penalty of the ball game for Ansley Litchfield. Taking a quick look at some of those other scores that we have for you. In Friend and Cross County, just underway, Diller Odell leads High Plains 45-14 at the half. Guardian Angels 64-2 final over Pawnee City. Heartland 52, Lord Central 50-0 in the third quarter. First and 15 at their own 26. Off balance eye, give it to Mills. Mills finds a little bit of a hole, but as he comes on the counter, crossbuck there, he's not going to get a whole lot, maybe three,
no,
four Mills.
Yeah, and the thing is they're handing it to him there, and he's just running parallel with the line of scrimmage. He needs to get north and south. He needs to get vertical into that hole. In that first drive when they were getting vertical into the hole, Doug, and not trying to stretch that thing into the outside gap, they were much better. If they want to run a perimeter run, they need to run a perimeter run. They're trying to stretch inside runs out.
Second and 12. The ball's fumbled and falling back out of his Shoemaker. He's back at the 25-yard line. A loss of four. Ansley Litchfield gets it, but it's going to be second down, third down, and 16.
Yeah, he turned and dropped the ball there. And those are the things. Now you're just deep behind the chains. Now it's tough to come back to like that, you know, the pass that they had open earlier. It's tough to come back on that when it's third and 15.
Kearney Catholic Volleyball playing Class A North Platte tonight. They won the first set 25-15. Third and long, Shoemaker back to pass. Throws it over the middle and overthrows his intended target in James Mills. Back behind him there was Bo Slingsby, but he couldn't get to it in time and incomplete. And that'll be the final play of the first quarter, and it was all Amherst. They even turned it over once at the goal line, and Ansley Litchfield couldn't do anything with it. So, after one quarter of play, Amherst 21, Ansley Litchfield nothing, and the Spartans will punt into the wind on the first play of the second quarter, which is coming up next.
The game is more fun to watch with Fanatics. Fanatics Sports Bar in Kearney, that is, and now there's even more Fanatics to love. The new addition nearly doubles the room inside, and the bullpen combines the great outdoors with great seats to the game. Follow the Huskers and your other favorite teams on over 30 high-def TVs, including two huge HD projection screens. Treat yourself to a wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers, and even a kids menu that will make you stand up and cheer. Football is more fun with Fanatics. Fanatics, a block north of the tracks on Central Avenue in Kearney.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Well, the punt by Shoemaker, Colton Burke, the lights aren't the brightest. It's always been that way in Amherst. And he started to come up on it. It bit him like if you were playing left field in the ninth inning for the Giants last night, and it rolled by him about 15, 20 yards. And it goes all the way to the six-yard line, and that's a 49-yard punt.
And it's kind of interesting. I know that it rolled back, but we've had the big passes going into the wind, now the big punt into the wind. Maybe the flags are lying to us.
21-0 Amherst. Doug Duda, Larry Baker with you here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings, Amherst. four wide. They send people in motion. They will hand it to Burke. He cuts up on the numbers on the right side, runs over a man. Finally, Haas Smith able to drag him down across the 15 and out to near the 20-yard line for another Amherst first down, a gain of 14.
Now, that's the first time they've done that tonight, Doug, and they've got that set up. Now they're starting to run counter off of their jet. They've had their jet going for good money all night. Now they start running counter off of it. You start giving that to Colton Berg, I think he's over 800 on the year. You're going to make some money.
Two carries, 36 yards for Burke. I had 53 on the ground, 116 through the air, 169, and seven first downs in the first quarter for Amherst. Back to pass, when it is back, Tobenheim, a little pressure, dumps it underneath, complete to Colton Burke at the 32, turns it up to about the 34-yard line, 14 more, and they've really got the Spartans' heads twisting right now.
Yeah, right there, they ran a little tracer concept, Doug, into a cover three look where the corner is going to stay with the deepest guy, and they just sent the inside receiver and traced his route. There's nobody there because it goes outside of the flat, so the flat defender doesn't carry it.
11:23 to go in the first half. 21-0 Amherst, and they're on the move again. First and 10 at their own 34-yard line. Tobenheim again with the empty backfield stacked right and left. They'll move a man in motion, hand it off to Burke, and he's hitting the backfield. There's a good play by the Spartans defensively, and getting up off that pile is going to be Landon Rohde. Rohde had some very good plays, but there were some skirmishes the last two times, last time that these two teams met, and they finally slowed something down.
Yeah, they did a nice job there. They got across the face of the tackle there, Tanner Hercock. The blocking scheme was going to be tough for Tanner to make that block, but they got across his face there.
A gain of one for Burke, second down and nine. Three wide, twins right, single left. Tobenheim rolls to his left, has some time to throw, flies it out here, and it is caught by Eckhout. Beautiful catch inside the 15. His momentum will take him out of bounds at the 11, a gain of 24.
Yeah, Doug, and that was a post corner again. They rolled it out, ran the post corner, and really Eckhout got held coming out of his break. Could have been PI there, and just does a tremendous job staying focused on the ball and making a great catch, getting both feet down. Clearly only need one in high school, but did a great job there.
Just a junior next year, healthy, is going to be an all-state wide receiver. If he's not already. First and 10 at the 11, already up 21-0. Quick snap, they'll pitch it. Dibbern hit in the backfield, steps out of that, gets inside the 10, makes another man miss at the 5, dies for the pylon, and Devin Dibbern is in for the touchdown. Man, they're making people miss. 11-yard touchdown run.
And here's the deal with Devin Dibbern. He was very patient there. And if you know the kid at all, you know he's one of the toughest human beings you'll ever meet. So when you can mesh those two things together, patience with tough, and he's going to be tough to bring down in that spot.
Well, the last time it was 28-0 final. Adelung ready to add the extra point. He kicks it, and that one is no good.
Blocked.
It was blocked, and getting through there looked to be number 9, Bo Slingsby. So 27-0, but again, the last game, it was 28-0 final. 10:37 to go second quarter, 27-0.
I think the biggest key here, Doug, is Amherst and Ansley Litchfield have now played just over five quarters of football, and Ansley Litchfield hasn't found a way to score.
Well, They've shown that they can move the ball, but big plays, there are some big plays. Not all of the touchdowns are big plays, but 10, 11, 19, 27, they're not pounding them in from the 2 or the 3-yard line right now.
No, and part of what you start to see happen here, to be honest, and it's tough, and that's where Ansley Litchfield needs something good to happen to them here right away, because what starts to happen in a deal like this is it starts to snowball and starts to get really tough really fast, and then that's when it turns into a tidal wave.
Well, 27-0, and Amherst gets ready to kick the football away. That's a 74-yard drive. Even after that punt pinned them at their own 6, they made it look easy. And Tobenheim is really doing a good job directing this offense. They're moving quick. Everybody's able to execute right now, and Ansley Litchfield just hasn't been able to make the plays so far. They've been in position most of the time. They just haven't been able to wrap up right away. The kick. Again, it's a short one. It'll be taken on the run at the 18-yard line, up to the 20, the 25. On the return, Caleb Unick across the 30, and he'll be brought down at the 31, and that's where Ansley Litchfield will take over, trailing 27-0.
Well, yeah, Doug, and I think, you know, to this point in this game, it's a real testament to Amherst because Ansley Litchfield is a good football team. They're a tough football team, and Amherst has made this look in a lot of ways fairly easy to this point.
All right, let's go on. First and 10, Ansley Litchfield. See if the Spartans can get something going here. They've got three wideouts out of the pistol. Shoemaker back to pass. A quick little dump off. It's complete for a gain of four, and then dragging the defenders with him. Short of the first down, Brady Rohde gets about five more after the catch, and it's going to be a gain of eight, second down and two.
Now, a few of those really help because it will drag some guys out of the box. And that's really what needs to happen here for Ansley Litchfield to get the run going.
And in the first quarter, Shoemaker was one of four with an interception, and the one completion was for 2 yards. Second down and two, Shoemaker back to pass again, looking over on the right slot, and that is going to be in and out of the hands of James Mills. And again, Amherst has had really good coverage in the secondary.
Yeah, they're staying right with him. It looks like they're really running some man concepts, which tells you that they're not afraid of this run game here, that they can turn their back to the line of scrimmage and run with those receivers, and they feel confident the line of scrimmage will make the plays that need to get made in the run game.
Third down and two now. They go power. They hand it off over the right side and move the line, and busting through into the secondary on his knees is going to be Haas Smith, and he's got the first down, a gain of six from his own 39 to the Bronco 35.
It's exactly what Ansley Litchfield needs here. A good 6-7 minute drive. Get this thing back to three scores and chew most of the clock up, because don't forget, Ansley Litchfield's going to get the ball to start the second half.
Only a 35 yards in the first quarter of offense for Ansley Litchfield. Quick little swing pass in and out of the hands of Marshall Coles. The defender did not know if he caught it or not and slams him to the ground, but there was all kinds of contact in there.
And here's the thing. They ran a tunnel screen with the number one receiver, counting the receivers from the sideline into the ball. The number one receiver comes back in on the tunnel screen, but your number two receiver just stood there. He has to block that guy if you're going to run that tunnel screen, and he stood.
Second down and 10 at the 35. Ansley Litchfield pistol rolling to his right. Four receivers in motion and down the middle. Nobody's there.
Okay, Doug. Now on that, what they do is they come back and run the same tunnel screen, but they release number two up the field. You have to complete the tunnel screen to get him to come up. They just followed him down the field.
They're setting things up in Evan Brockmeyer and Bo Slingsby. We're both in the pattern. But Shoemaker started to feel some heat and just threw that one away. 9:36 to go, second quarter, Amherst 27, and Ansley Litchfield nothing. The Spartans have moved the ball, but again, they've moved the ball out of the 35 and face a third and 10 after back-to-back incompletions. Line in the off-balance eye, slot right side, Shoemaker long count. And it's a pitch play. They want to run, cutting back, making one man miss. Mills, that he's picked up, and he's going to be brought down to the field after a short gain to about the 32-yard line. Of course, they're going to go for it here, but it's fourth down
and seven. I think
they're
going to punt it. I wouldn't, but I think they might punt it here, Doug. They changed a lot of personnel there. But you said at the top that they would do that. They're going to go for it here.
Brady Rohde out wide to the left. Twins to the right. That's Slingsby and Brockmeyer. Back to pass Shoemaker. Three-man rush. Over the middle. The defender fell down. It's caught at the 20. End inside the 15. And brought down close to the 10-yard line is going to be Brady Rohde.
And it's a huge play right there. Devin Dibbern had good coverage, fell down. Rohde needs to cut that thing back where the defender was instead of across the field. On big plays like that, Doug, right now where Ansley is, they need to score.
Yeah.
So they don't have to come back and re-snap it.
That is a 19-yard completion on fourth down. Sets up first and 10 at the 12-yard line, the deepest penetration of the Spartans here in the first half. And they line up in the unbalanced eye again. Off to the right, very tight of the quarterback, Shoemaker under center. Give it to Smith. Boy, look at that push up front. Inside the 10. And finally, Hadwiger and company drag him down. But that looked like a bulldozer up front.
Yeah, that's just old school wedge is all that was. And right away, you see Amherst send big Tanner Hercock out. They need his 275-pound body in the middle of that. That is just straight old school wedge.
That is 11 yards right up the middle to the 2. First and goal at the 2. Smith in the backfield along with Brockmeyer. Shoemaker will give it to Smith. He's hit, and he's going to be brought down.
Doug, if Ansley Litchfield runs naked off of that right now, they turn, run the same wedge, have the quarterback keep it, and naked out to the pylon, he'll score. He can walk in.
I may have misread that. Shoemaker may have had the football there, but it's going to be a loss of about a half a yard. So Shoemaker hasn't had a lot of luck. Brockmeyer hasn't had a lot of luck with the footballs so far. Second and goal at the 3.
There's nobody outside the five tech, the D tackle out there.
Marshall Coles is out here on the right end. Shoemaker gives it to Smith. Smith follows his big line into the end zone for a Spartan touchdown. The first touchdown in two games for Ansley Litchfield against Amherst.
And I love the play call. They ran wedge, but they didn't run it the way they did the first time. They sent the other back off, and after the quarterback handed it, he went off like it was going to be option outside, and it held those linebackers. That was a really nice play call. This is big here. You make this, Doug, and you've got to get a stop now if you're Ansley Litchfield, because you're going to get the ball to start the second half. Get this thing cut to where it's back to manageable.
And again, remember, Ansley Litchfield, these kids haven't been in the football playoffs because they were 0-4 the last couple years. Two-point conversion. They throw it out in the flat, and it is going to be intercepted. And that is Hadwiger, I believe, that stepped in front.
Yep.
Or is it Eckhout?
No, that's Eckhout.
Eckhout steps in front. The two-point conversion pass is no good. It was on the far side of the field there, and the score was 7:50 to go in the first half. Is Amherst 27, Ansley Litchfield 6. We'll be right back.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college. And that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people. And they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Well, Larry Ansley Litchfield finally able to complete a drive.
Yeah, it was perfect. I mean, they did complete a good pass in there, but the key was they ran the ball. They acted like who they are. Well, they've got to get a stop here, though, Doug. This is the key stop, because if you can get a stop here, you score, you get a stop, your guys are a mile high, and you might go back down and score, but it maybe gives you a chance to end the half.
7:50 to go, ready to kick it away is going to be Marshall Coles. And again, a low line drive squib that'll be picked up about the 24-yard line. That's Devin Dibbern. He puts both arms around it, starts to run around, got tripped up. He didn't go down, but when he got tripped up, his knee did hit the turf. He'll return it to about the 25, and that's where Amherst will take over in a 27-6 ball game. Want to get some more scores to you during this important playoff time. Anselmo Myrna 28-6 over Southwest in the second quarter. Paxton and Potter Nix 12-12 in the first quarter. Elwood leads Loomis 20-0 in the second quarter. Sandhill Stedford a winner earlier today. Again, empty backfield. They'll send Burke in motion on the jet sweep. This time it's a quarterback draw. Tommenheim started up the middle. Now he cuts to the outside. Big 35-40. There's a flag down. 35 hurdles a man to the 30. He's brought down at the 29. But it looks like this one may be coming back.
They're saying number 24 for Amherst.
A hold in the backfield will negate a 25-yard run. That's the second penalty of the ball game for Amherst. Both have been holds.
Yeah, and that's a big one. Doug, both runs were huge, and both come back.
North Platte beats Kearney Catholic 25-15 in the second set, so they're even at a set apiece. High school volleyball, kind of the big one in the area tonight. Sub-districts begin on Monday, and if I would have remembered to bring the sheets, I'd have told you where everybody was going, but we'll give you a few of them for the teams that are involved. 27-6 Amherst now facing first and 20 after the hold. They'll hand it off on the sweep. Making a man miss is going to be Burke. And here he comes down the sideline. 20-25-30. Drug down from behind by Ben Schrock in Ansley Litchfield territory. Huge run all the way to the 37.
Yeah, and Schrock makes a great play, Doug, on the tackle. But Kohlberg is just too tough there. He was dead in the hole. He defeats that, and then he just gets to the edge and runs.
So Coach Berkey and his staff have got to be frustrated. They have hit Amherst at the line of scrimmage, and instead of a no gain, it's a first down 24-yard gain. Burke has four carries for 64 yards in this football game, and a penalty flag will come down. A little too much disco there at the offensive line for Amherst. Coach Ron Evans wants to know what's going on. Illegal procedure.
The guard bounced.
It looked like they were trying to stand up, look at the sidelines for the play, and it didn't look right. And when it doesn't look right, you're going to get the yellow hanky.
Yeah, because it was the umpire that threw it.
Yeah.
So
it'll be first down and 15, but no down and distance has seemed to bother Amherst. They haven't had to even think about punting it yet, up 27-6. Send a man in motion. High snap. It's going to be a quarterback draw. Tobenheim, and he'll be upended after a couple of yards. Getting the nice stick is Evan Brockmeyer. Don't know if that's what the play was supposed to be, but because of the high snap, Tobenheim says, I'm taking off, and he got what he could, which was 3 yards.
And it actually worked out, Doug, that they were going to give it on the jet. They'd pulled a guy. They were going to give it on the boundary, running jet to the boundary, to the sideline, and it actually worked out for them. They were going to be dead out there.
Neither team has used a timeout. You're listening to the state playoffs here on ESPN Radio and PlatteRiverPreps.com. 27-6 Amherst, 6:20 to go, second quarter. Tobenheim, slant over the middle, wide open, 30, 25, first down, Dibbern.
On the first drive, Doug, I told you, they're not going, when they're in 2x2, Ansley Litchfield's not going out over the flex. Evans finally went to it right there, and they just went straight hole shot to him right there. He just released straight up the field and kept going, and they just hit him right in the hole.
First short over the middle pass that we've seen. First and 10 at the 23-yard line of the Spartans. Amherst on the move again. Empty backfield. In motion from left to right is Burke. This time they do give it to him. Again, makes a man miss in the backfield. Inside the 20, and he'll be upended around the 18-yard line by Grady Stunkel. But again, the speed and the elusiveness, the quickness of these backs and quarterbacks, frustrating. It's like trying to tackle jello right now for Ansley Litchfield.
And that's part of it, and that's what I'm saying. You know, this isn't as much Ansley Litchfield not playing good, Doug. They've got him dead in the hole again, and Colt Burke just explodes when he puts his foot in the ground, getting vertical right there.
Gain of 5 to the 18. Second and 5, Amherst. Twins right and left. Again, Burke in motion. Tobenheim, one-hand catch with the snap, now runs to his left, looks for the block, has it inside the 15, runs over a man at the 10, and he'll finally hit his knee down at about the 8-yard line. A gain of 10 on the play.
He's got to take care
of the ball. Slings me on the tackle.
He's got to take care of the ball there, Doug. Right there, as he turned the corner, the ball was all over the place. They've got to take care of the football.
They already have the one fumble that they lost going in the first quarter, which they stopped, got the ball back, and scored. First and goal at the 9, coming off Ansley Litchfield's first score, and Amherst is not slowing down. They're going to be well over 250 yards of offense right now in this first half. Under center, Tobenheim, slot right is Burke. Pitch play left side, Dibbern decides to come back up over his center, gets a block at the 5, stretches to the 2, and he'll be down at the 1, a gain of 8.
I mean, what a bulldog. I think they could win the game giving it to 20 over and over and over. I mean, he does a great job there. They had pulled the guard. The guard got stuck behind the center, and Dibbern cuts that thing back into where the guard came from and just kept his feet moving.
Doug Duda, Larry Baker with you here in the Nebraska Land National Broadcast Booth. The Nebraska Land National Bank Broadcast Booth says there's 4:40 to go here in the first half, and it could be 33-6 here in about 5 more seconds. I formation, Tobenheim gives it to Burke. Burke runs into the back of Dibbern, and he didn't get in. He ran right into the back of his blocking back. He lost his balance, and Haas Smith grabbed him and brought him down. It'll be 3rd and goal at the 1.
Yeah, that was one of those deals they call walleye vision there. He just was going to the end zone, and it didn't matter. He wasn't going around any of them.
That was a strange play because the hole was there. He was going to walk into the end zone. But he ran so quick that he bounced off his own back. They had the fullback I-back switch that time so that he would have a chance to score.
Yeah, and the thing is, Doug, if he goes right or left, he scores.
Burke now slot right. Tobenheim 3rd and goal at the 1. Pitch play Dibbern. Starts to his right. Follows the block. Walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Broncos.
Yeah, they did a nice. Amherst did a great job setting the edge there, Doug. They set the edge to the wide side there, and he walked in.
33-6 Amherst, a team that does score a lot of points throughout the season. I mean, there was the 28 against Ansley Litchfield was by far and away the fewest they'd scored all year. The second fewest, 41 at Twin Loop. Adelung with the extra point kick. That one is on the way, and that one is good. 3:50 to go in the first half of the D1 State playoffs. It's Amherst 34, Ansley Litchfield 6 here on ESPN Radio.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
Doug Duda, Larry Baker back with you here on ESPN Radio. The opening night of the Class D State football playoffs. Devin Dibbern with 2 touchdown runs. Taubenheim has hit Eckhout on two touchdown passes, and Taubenheim has a 10-yard run. Haas Smith has the 3-yard run for Ansley Litchfield. 3:50 to go here in quarter two, 34-6. Amherst.
Yeah, and that one's kind of a backbreaker, Doug, because Ansley Litchfield had finally gotten something to feel good about. And then Amherst just kind of pounded them right down the field.
Well, they're going to have to get into a shootout. Still time to get something done here. Ansley Litchfield has found a way to put points on the board. They've dominated some teams that weren't very good as the line drive kick is taken to the 21 right out of the air. 25 trying to cut to the 30, and the feet slide out from underneath Ben Schrock, who looks at the official and says, I didn't go down. I put my hand down. But the whistle will put him down at the 30. 3:46 to go. All three timeouts. You can run this all the way down the field if you can continue to convert.
Right now, if you're Ansley Litchfield, obviously, you'd like to score, but the number one goal you have right now is not give the ball back to Amherst. You get it to start the second half. You'd like to go 2-for-1 here.
So first down and 10 out of the pistol. 3 wideouts. Back to pass Shoemaker. Looks over the middle. He's got his tight end, and it's complete to Brady Rohde up the middle of the field to the 40 to the 30. He's going to take it all the way. 60, 51 yards for the touchdown. One play. You can give it back to Amherst if you do that,
Larry. I was just going to say the same thing. To give it back to him if that's how it works. That was a really nice job. Amherst is playing a zero coverage look there. They have no safety. And again, we talked about it earlier. They're just playing zero man, assuming that Litchfield's going to run the ball. And Ansley Litchfield does a nice job there. Just a skinny little post, and off he goes.
So the old one play, 51-yard drive. They go for two. Incomplete the first time, actually picked off. Now they're going to hand it up off the right side, and they're going to let big Landon Rohde take it as the fullback, and you're not going to bring down 225 Landon Rohde. The run is good. 3:37 to go here in the first half, 34-14. We'll keep it here in the Nebraska-Land National Bank broadcast booth. High school football brought to you by AgXL, your precision fertilizer application experts, located in Kearney or online at agxcel.com. AgXL, where precision meets the soil.
And the key here is, and I said it earlier, and I'm just going to say it again, Doug, if you're Ansley Litchfield, you've got to get a stop. Right here is really a key one. Get a stop here. Get the ball back, and you're going to get it back to start the half. It's a 2-for-1 possession switch. This is a key spot to get a stop in this game. You can crawl right back in this thing with a stop, because the other thing is you then send Amherst to the half a little bit panicked. The coaches will get a little bit panicked in what gets done. You don't get to go there and spend 15 minutes feeling good about yourself. So this is a big spot to get a stop or an onside kick. Amherst only has 3 up front. Very dangerous.
Early to gamble. Is it early to gamble?
Only 3 up front. That is very, very dangerous.
So ready to boot the ball away. Again, it's a squib kick picked up and just lying on it at the 20-yard line again. So this time it'll be Colton Burke to lie on it. Neither team has shown that they want to boom the ball. Again, the wind's still blowing, but it has lessened a little bit. We're still in that 10 to 15 mile an hour range. It was about 20-25 at kickoff.
One thing I'll say is just come back to that Amherst only had 3 up front there, Doug. In that situation, it's 8-3. I mean, that's, you look for an onside kick, you look for that numbers matchup.
You're not even trying to bounce it off a guy there. No. The middle of the field was pretty open.
That's exactly right.
Squib it, see if he can be the first one to get there. Coming up at the half, the Ravenna Sanitation halftime report, first half stats, scoring summary, and scores from other playoff games.
Got a wheel.
Taubenheim, out of that wheel rod. Burke's wide open. Has it at midfield. Cuts back to the middle at the 30. Runs inside the 25. Brought down on the left hash. Amherst sideline at the 22-yard line.
Ansley Litchfield, actually, they had no flat defender there whatsoever. Run a, just out of a 2x2 set, run a basic wheel. They go slant wheel behind it, and there was no flat defender, and the corner ran with the slant.
32 yards. And we may see 2 or 3 more scores before half. This is on pace of last week again. 34-14, Amherst, and they're down at the 23 after that play. Burke in motion. They hand it to him, sweep right, now decides to cut it back up, and they'll catch him and drag him down. Rohde plants him down with some help that time from Grady Stunkel, and the loss of a yard, maybe 2 on the play, will call it 2nd and 11.
And that thing had a shot to go for big money. Peyton Shockey's got his man defeated there. He just needed to stay with him, and that thing, the edge was set.
Taubenheim, 8 out of his last 8, all for first downs. Swings it out here in the front. Flat, complete to Hadwiger down the left side. 20 and stiffed arm out of bounds at about the 15. So there is going to be just a 9-yard gain. But if I've got this right, 21, 19-yard touchdown, 18, 13, 14, 24, 16, 32, 9. Those are the last 9 passes.
I'll take it. Holy cow.
Third down and 3. Amherst at the Ansley Litchfield 15. All their timeouts. Clock stopped after the out of bounds. Tobenheim empty backfield, rolls left, looking for Eckhout, underthrows, but Eckhout slides and catches it in the end zone for the touchdown. He fakes Shoemaker that he was going to go middle, then cuts it to the pylon, and the third time that Tobenheim has hit Eckhout tonight, a 15-yarder.
And as a post corner again, Doug, they go to the post and take the corner. There's no inside help there. There's no safety, so the corner has to run inside. If they play with a safety there, it allows the corner to pass the post to the safety, and he can maintain leverage outside. And until they do that, they're going to keep completing the post corner.
Adelung got under that. It lands on the crossbar and goes over. If he's kicking into the wind, it's no good. But he popped up that one, and it crosses for the extra point. 2:40 to go. 3 touchdowns in the last minute and 10 seconds. It's 41-14 Amherst here on ESPN Radio.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game, from swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back. See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Well, I guess what you look at here, Doug Duda along with Larry Baker, state football brought to you by Tom Dinsdale Automotive at the corner of Stolly Park and South Webb Road, Grand Island, online at dinsdaleauto.com. What such a big difference between Game 1 and Game 2. Game 1 at Ansley Litchfield, 7-0 at the half in the afternoon in beautiful conditions. Here, 55 points, and we're not done with 2:40 to go before halftime.
Yeah, I think one of the big keys here is Amherst is spreading this thing out, and there's just a big speed difference here.
Caleb Unick back to receive the kick. Looks like he's actually going to get a chance. He'll take it on the run at the 13 to the 15, 20, starts left, 25. He'll drag a man with him, and Hadwiger will bring him down at the 28-yard line. And again, no timeouts have been used here in the first half. You're listening to KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, and online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Doug Duda, Larry Baker, the winner will advance on. Fullerton is rolling tonight, so that's who they would get on Wednesday. A, B, and C playoffs, along with 6-man, begin tomorrow. Shoemaker with twins to the right, takes the snap, looks left, tries the same play, and it is knocked down. It was overthrown, and Brady Rohde about brought it in with his big paw.
They're going to go stop and go here at some point. The last time they ran a skinny post, that time they ran about a 10-yard stop with Rohde. My guess is they're going to try to go stop and go. Tough thing is I don't know that Rohde's fast enough in that situation to outrun the DB there.
But he can drag him.
Yes,
he's a bigger kid. He's just a much bigger kid. Pistol again. Second and 10. Here comes pressure. Shoemaker has to avoid the rush. Looking to throw it away, and he's sacked. As he looked back to throw it away, Devin Dibbern jumped right up in his face and gets the sack. Yeah.
He tried to pump fake Devin Dibbern there, and he rolls to the outside, and the smoke came out of Dibbern's nostrils. He wasn't going to let him go.
It's a guy that grabs the horns and bulldogs you down, and he did it again right there. That's going to be a loss of about 7 on the play, 3rd and 17.
There's a whole bunch of people in this world I'd rather have chasing me than that guy.
First sack of the game for either team. And for some reason, the clock stopped. We must have tackled him out of bounds, and now they're going to blitz and get him again. And that time, Hadwiger.
Yeah, Hadwiger. And if Hadwiger was going to miss, Dibbern was going to splatter him. They sent both backers there, Doug, which was somewhat of a risk there in the 2x2 set, but they got him.
Man, a loss of about 10 more on the play, and now you've got a punt out of your own end zone.
That's an old Charlie McBride deal. If you're going to sit 5 to block, we're sending 7.
Amherst, I'm surprised, didn't use a timeout. As the low punt is away, it'll bounce at the 35, 40, and it's going to be picked up there. Dangerous, but picked up by Burt. He gets to the 30, to the 25, makes a man miss down the left sideline, upended inside the 20-yard line by the punter Shoemaker, who had a 30, 1 yard, 33-yard punt, but it is returned all the way inside the 20 to the 19, and Amherst has all day to score again.
Yeah, one of the impressive things that I'm seeing here, Doug, out of Amherst, you know, they have the big deal happen to them last week. You never know how you're going to respond. Did that make you feel mortal, or did it upset you? Amherst right now up 41-14. You see the blocks happening there. It upset them. I mean, they're coming.
It was 27-0, so the teams have exchanged scores, but they have not stopped Amherst yet, and that's the Spartans. Here's a handoff. Dimmer around the right side. Makes a man miss. 15-10. Downfield block. Frees him into the end zone. And another one-play drive into the end zone again. Devin Dimmer, his third touchdown run of the game.
Wow. Wow. I mean, he hit the edge, Doug, and just lit the gas. You know what I mean, though? There's just an extra step here. You know, a lot of times when you get up like this and somebody maybe you've already beaten in the past, you feel good about yourself, or, you know, and you start to let up. There has not been a lick of that yet here.
Well, I think Ansley Litchfield, and we're going to have our first timeout of ball game before the extra point kick called by Amherst. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take time out to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank, member FDIC. We'll be right back.
Oh, I can't believe it. Are you kidding me? Out here in the middle of nowhere, Mom and Bramps will kill me. What's that, girl? Call Kearney Towing and Repair? Because they'll get us home from anywhere? But I don't have their number. 308-236-9951. Thanks, girl.
24-hour towing,
certified repair.
No matter why, no matter where.
308-236-9951.
Lock it in, Kearney Towing and Repair.
Well, the timeout to line up for the extra point kick here for Adelung. They didn't have the right personnel on the field, and timeouts to spare, so they use it. And the holder is Eckhout. Braden Dattelbany for the left-footed kicker. High snap. Did a good job to get it. The kick is a line drive, and it is up, and it is good. So a couple of them haven't looked pretty, but that one is up and good, and it is 48-14. Four touchdowns in the last 2 minutes and 15 seconds, Larry.
Yikes. I mean, they just – and as it's gone, they've seemed to just get a little better here. I'm fairly impressed here. Without question, you know, going forward, as you said, Doug, and you're going to have to look pretty good. Amherst, with what they did last week, has put themselves in a very, very tough spot going forward in this bracket. So that's one of the tough things, too, here as a coach is, you know, if you can, you'd like to keep a couple of those bullets in your gun and not give Fullerton a whole week to look at some of it.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. In the playoffs, you kind of call it the no mercy. The mercy rule is here. If you've got a chance, back in the day when they called the game after 45 points and you're in the playoffs, you're trying to get there and call the game. That way, less plays, less chance of injury, and you're saving your legs. You've already done the job here. I'm sure that Amherst would love to get to the 35 points and have a running clock in the second half right now. Unbelievably, it's 34. 48-14, wind at the back of Amherst, ready to boot it away again. Five steps, and that is pounded. That's not Adelung. They go to a different kicker, and knocking it through the end zone is going to be, looks like Jacob Klingelhofer getting a chance to pound that one. And so for the first time tonight, touchback at the 15 for Ansley Litchfield. Again, they've got all three timeouts, but they're at their own 15 with 1:37 going into the wind, and they got to keep the hammer down, though. They've got to try and score here.
Here's one of the tough things, though, about subbing. I'll come back to it after this play, Doug.
We've had six touchdowns here in the second quarter of play. And back to pass Shoemaker. Quick little inside slant. That is complete into the hands of Brady Rohde, but he doesn't go anywhere. Gets to about the 17, a short gain as he's wrapped up immediately.
Here's the tough thing for Amherst later in this game. They're going to want a sub. Their subs better be pretty good because Ansley only has 19 kids suited up. Ansley's not going to be, Ansley Litchfield's not going to be able to sub a bunch of guys.
Yeah, the Spartans are not very deep. Definitely Amherst has more players. And so again, you're in that situation. Well, why are they D1? It's the number of kids. You come together with two schools. It gives you a lot more. Second and nine. Shoemaker back to pass. Has pressure from the outside. Beautiful screen set up. But covering that screen is Dibbern. Trying to drag him is Haas Smith. He got to about the 19 where he's gang tackled by Mortensen and Preble helping out Dibbern. So a gain of about 3, and it's going to be 3rd down and 7.
Yeah, Dibbern did a great job there. But just back to that is, if Amherst goes all JV, there's a pretty good chance that Ansley Litchfield's varsity is better than Amherst JV. Yeah. Ansley Litchfield's not going to be able to go all JV.
30 seconds to go here. 3rd down and 6. Pressure coming. They're just pinning their air back. Shoemaker throws it down the sideline. Nobody there. Just trying to kill the clock. And the unfortunate thing there is that
he killed the clock.
He killed the clock. If he could just fall down, I don't think Amherst would have called a timeout. We would have went to halftime.
Yeah, that's Amherst. What I mean, they're Ansley Litchfield is in spread. They're leaving 3 in the block, and Amherst is sending 5 on every play. So,
I mean, the only way Amherst is going to try to score is on this kick return. Is Burke not expecting much of a kick? He's only 21 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Shoemaker blocked into the back, and it sails into the end zone. It's going to be a safety. Ty Hadwiger, there was only 2 men that were coming, and he was shoving the blocker right back into the punter. Shoemaker, who had all kinds of room there, Lair, but he was looking down to make contact and didn't see it. He could have easily sidestepped it, but that's the way things have went for the Spartans.
And the tough thing is here, Amherst is going to get the ball back, Doug, on a free kick with 24 seconds, and that's been more than enough time, and you don't take a knee here if you're Amherst.
So Ty Hadwiger blocks the punt, I guess, 50-14. And now when the second half starts, we will have a running clock until Ansley Litchfield can get it inside 35 points. I thought eventually Amherst had the possibility of winning this ball game by 3 or 4 scores, but I never saw 50 in the first half, especially without a bunch of turnovers. Ansley Litchfield has turned it over, but they've had a bobbled snap on a punt and now a blocked punt.
Yeah, and the half's not over, and there's only 24 seconds left, but Amherst is going to get the ball back, and they've proven here through this first half numerous times, Doug, that they can bite giant chunks of this field up quickly.
Well, you got to squib it. You got to squib it. Hope you can make the tackle if you're Ansley Litchfield, but this one almost positively in the books for Amherst. So ready to kick it away as soon as the official gives the signal here. And here we go. And they'll hit it high in the air. Back, taking the ball at about the 17-yard line. A little razzle-dazzle. They give it to Burke, but they're all over it. And they'll upend Colton inside the 25 at about the 22. And Amherst will trot out there with 18 seconds to go in the first half. Coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. A rundown of all of our scores. Don't forget, we've also got radio games with Lawrence Nelson at Giltner on the Breeze 94.5, Kennesaw Meridian on Classic Hits 98.9. Those games are also on PlatteRiverPreps.com. We'll give you the first half stats. We'll talk about what's coming up tomorrow. A lot to cover on this night after the World Series ended.
Post corner to Bradeneck out here. They haven't stopped it yet.
And they're going to go for more. Tobenheim pump fake. Looks back against Eckhout, double coverage, throws it as far as he can, and it is incomplete. It hit off of his hand. He stretched as far as he could. He almost made a Sports Center type catch inside the 10.
He's very impressive, Doug. He's fluid out of his breaks. He's clearly very athletic, but he's fast, but he's very fluid running down the field, not stiff.
That is the first incompletion in the last 11 passes for Trey Tobenheim. And every one of those completions in the previous 10 were for 9 or more yards, a majority of them going over 15.
I try to get the ball really pretty close. I get it to one of my playmakers close to the line of scrimmage. Ansley Litchfield's in zone here, and I get it to one of my guys and let him make a play in open field.
11 seconds, man in motion. Back to pass, Tobenheim has some pressure, sidesteps it, throws it out here, a little screen, and slipping at the 30-yard line is going to be Dibbern to the 32, and Amherst will call a timeout with 2 seconds remaining. So instead of sending everybody deep, they let him come through. The blockers were out there. It's a gain of 8, 3rd and 2, but this will be the last play of the half.
Yeah, I love the play call. Get that thing to your playmakers near the line of scrimmage and let him go run. If he doesn't slip and fall there, he's got a chance to make something happen.
This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank with 2 seconds to go here in the first half of our D1 opening round playoff game. It is Amherst 50 and Ansley Litchfield 14 on ESPN Radio. Last week, it was 52-48 final on the wrong side of that for Amherst, and they have come out fire, and they have not been stopped tonight. No punts.
Now, what you don't want to do if you're Amherst here is run some super razzmatazz that you have in your pocket and put that on film.
Yeah, and don't don't be pitching the ball. You don't need Ansley Litchfield picking it up and running it back. I mean, this game is in hand. Amherst is not going to be stopped enough times to allow Ansley Litchfield to get back into this football game unless the hand of the Almighty comes down and knocks it out of their possession every single snap. So here's your situation. Doesn't matter that it's third down and two. It matters that they are 47 yards away from the end zone. And Taubenheim, with no wideouts, will line up out of the shotgun. He's got both of his running backs flanking him. He does have ends in the slot. It's going to be a hook and lateral. Nope, it's a quick little slant play out to the 40, 35, and inside the 30, the tackle will be made. They got it to Hadwiger. That'll pad the stats a little bit here. It's going to be about a 17-yard completion and another first down, and that will end the first half of play that was dominated by Amherst. I haven't quite added it up, but if they had 169 yards in the first quarter, they're going to have over 300 yards here, Larry, in the first half.
Yeah, no question. They just, the only thing that stopped them in the first half, Doug, was the clock. As far as that goes, I don't see. I mean, there was nothing that took them off the field there.
Well, coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation halftime report. We will take a look at the first half stats and a whole lot more. And I finally have gotten a good look at this officiating crew. It's a young officiating crew out of Kearney. We'll talk about that at halftime as well. 50-14 Amherst. We'll be right back.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publisher's Clear.
Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's and Kearney now delivers.
Head to Tom Dinsdale Automotive for a truck or SUV that works as hard as you do. Get 0% financing for 60 months with approved credit on a 2014 three-quarter ton Chevy or GMC truck. Or get 0% financing for 60 months with approved credit on a 2014 Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, or Traverse, or GMC Acadia, Yukon, or Yukon XL. Go to DinsdaleTrucks.com today.
Tom Dinsdale, your truck destination.
When you need power, think Husker Power Products, your full-service irrigation engine headquarters. Husker Power Products is your provider of GM natural gas and propane engines, Isuzu diesel, all customized for your application. A business backed by fast response, service when you need it, and straightforward answers. Think locally owned and operated Husker Power Products when you need power. Located at 2955 West Highway 6 in Hastings, or online at HuskerPowerProducts.com.
With our producer-engineer Caleb Henry and Larry Baker, I'm Doug Duda, back with you here at Amherst, where it is time for the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is their treasure. Oh, and is it ever. Serving Buffalo County for business or residential service, Ravenna Sanitation, your trash collection connection. Find them in your local yellow pages. And Amherst, 2 weeks ago, was up 7-0 at Ansley Litchfield at the half. Not tonight. 50-14 is your halftime score. Let's take a look at what we have on the Valentino's scoreboard. It's all Class D1 and D2 football playoffs. They stayed with the 8-game regular season and 32-team playoffs for the next at least 2 years, where Class C this year went to the 9-game regular season and 16-team playoffs. They joined B&A on Friday night. And, of course, the scoreboard's brought to you by our friends at Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before or after the game. Call for one of their great pizzas for delivery. You can carry it out as well. In the Kearney area, they deliver great Valentino's. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue, top of the hill, Kearney. Let's start in D1 in the western half of the bracket. Number one, Creighton, has beaten Twin Loop tonight by a score of 56-7. At halftime, Neely Oakdale leads Elgin Public Pope John 21-8. At half, Elm Creek 34, Arapahoe 6. Remember, this was a 42-36 Elm Creek win midway through the season. Earlier today, Burwell defeated Perkins County. That goes back with some history there. Back when those guys were 11-man and Grant was the powerhouse, Burwell was on the wrong side of the bracket and had to go down there to Grant and Cambridge a number of times. And tonight, Perkins County falls at Burwell 52-20. Hemingford blew out Shelton this afternoon 71-14. They'll host Blue Hill next week. Blue Hill beat North Central 55-27. The other side of this bracket, Fullerton 72, Sutherland 30. That's a final. So if Amherst brings it home, they will play at Fullerton next Wednesday, and we will have coverage of that for you on our network of stations. In the eastern half of the D1 bracket, the top seed Friend leads Cross County at the half, 36-8. Diller Odell, the 8 seed, outscores High Plains 67-30. The 5 seed Guardian Angels Central Catholic blows out Pawnee City 64-2. They're going to get Howells Dodge. Wow, that should be a great matchup in the second round. Howells Dodge leads Cedar Bluff 52-0 at the half. More big scores. Heartland beat Lord Central Catholic today 74-6. Got a good one here. Possible upset. Clarkson Lee, the 11 seed, leading the 6 seed Hardington Newcastle 34-26 in the fourth quarter. Bloomfield comes back. The 7 seed avoids the upset. They beat Scribner-Snyder in a shootout 66-56. Bloomfield will travel to Bruning, Davenport, Shickley in the next round. BDS blanked Omaha Christian 50-0. In D2, in the West bracket, the top seed is Anselmo Myrna. They lead Southwest after half 56-12. The 8-9 seed, Paxton, leads Potter Dix 25-12 in the second. At halftime, Elwood 28, Loomis nothing. The winner of that game will be taking on Sandhills Stedford. They defeated Hitchcock County 49-0. Medicine Valley, they are on a roll in the latter portion of the season. They're a 14 seed, and they're giving Maxwell all they want, a rematch. It's Maxwell 32, Medicine Valley 28 as they approach the half. The winner of that will take on Bertrand. Bertrand outscored Hay Springs 48-20, so Bertrand will hit the road to the winner of the Maxwell-Medicine Valley game. At the half, Brady 42, Overton 14, and just underway, Mullen has scored first to take a 6-0 lead over the number 2 seed, Garden County, and that has made it to the second quarter. In the eastern half of the D2 bracket, Exeter Milligan is the top seed. They lead Red Cloud at the half 46-0. Chambers Wheeler Central over Wynot in the fourth quarter 42-20. At the half on the breeze, 94.5, Giltner 52, Lawrence Nelson 20, and the winner of that will take on Humphrey St. Francis. If Giltner holds on, they'll go to Humphrey. St. Francis beat O'Neill St. Mary's 70-14. A close game as far as all the scores we've been reading on Classic Hits 98.9. Kennesaw down their leading rusher Austin Schnitzler and the backup Isaiah McChesney had to shuffle the lineup, and they're still beating Meridian, but it's 28-14 at halftime. The winner of that will play either Randolph or Bancroft Rosalie. Randolph leads it at the half 30-6. And finally, it was Falls City Sacred Heart over Emerson Hubbard 52-13. Stewart shut out Osceola 48-0. So next Wednesday, Stewart will host Falls City Sacred Heart in a rematch of last year's D2 state championship game. Now tomorrow, it is Class C football action, Class B football action, and Class A. In Class A, Kearney High will travel to Norfolk. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. Kearney beat Norfolk at Foster Field last week. Grand Island will be hosting Columbus also at 7. In B, Aurora will be at Scotts Bluff. That is a 7 o'clock central kickoff tomorrow. In Class C1, Central City's at Ashland Greenwood. Grand Island Central Catholics at Wilbur Claytonia. Those are at 7. Cozad will host Fort Calhoun at 7. On the other side of the bracket, you'll hear the Kearney Catholic Boys Town game right here on ESPN Radio. That kicks off at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in C1. In C2, we will be in David City as Aquinas will be hosting Gibbon on Classic Hits 98.9. That game will kick off at 7 o'clock. And on 1230 KHAS, St. Cecilia will host Southern at Duncan Field at 7. Again, all of our radio games available online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Also tomorrow night, Sutton will host Hardington Cedar Catholic, and Southern Valley will be at North Platte St. Pat's, kicking off at 7 o'clock. Six-man action tomorrow afternoon. Defending state champion Silver Lake travels to Cedar Rapids to play Riverside. Kickoff is at 2:30. And Wilcox Hildreth will travel to the number one team in the state, Spalding Academy, at 6 o'clock tomorrow. The Western Bracket, Sioux County, is hosting Hayes Center, and Hyannis is hosting Minotaure. So there's your playoff update. We are at halftime here in Amherst, where the Broncos are rolling. They have scored on all but one possession, and that was a fumble at the 3-yard line. It's Amherst 50, Ansley Litchfield 14. We'll be back, take a look at the first half stats, and a whole lot more right after this.
Hi, I'm Sally McCann with AgXL, your liquid fertilizer application experts in Kearney, Nebraska. Harvest is coming to an end, which means a planting season is right around the corner. What if I told you that I could help increase your yields next year? Well, I can if you let AgXL design a system for you. Stop in our Kearney showroom or on the web at agxcel.com or call me, Sally McCann, at AgXL. That's AgXCEL, where precision meets the soil.
At Broadfoot Sand and Gravel of Kearney, we've been moving and building your earth for years. Broadfoot produces and delivers sand and gravel and specializes in excavation, dirt work, site preparation, demolition, and snow removal with two pit locations to save you time and money. Call Broadfoot Sand and Gravel today. Whether you need a little rock or a lot for landscaping, driveway building, business, or residential, Broadfoot is the only name you need. Let the professionals move and improve the earth for you.
Welcome back to high school sports and football action coming your way on this Thursday night here on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda along with Larry Baker. We'll take a look at the first half stats here in just a moment. The state football playoffs brought to you in part by Husker Power Products, irrigation, industrial engines, pumps and generators. Husker Power Products has it all. HuskerPowerProducts.com. 50-14, Amherst with the lead, and if they can finish it out, they're headed to Fullerton next week. We talked about that in the pregame, but Amherst looks pretty good out here tonight, Larry. Is Amherst playing their best football tonight? Is Ansley Litchfield struggling a little bit? This is a 7-10 matchup, but Ansley Litchfield 5-3, Amherst 7-1. What are we seeing here in this first half?
I do think this actually is more about Amherst than it is Ansley Litchfield. I don't think Ansley Litchfield has played really that poorly, to tell you the truth. You know, they had the first drive where they threw the pick. That kind of hurt them a little bit. But this really is about Amherst. Amherst, and like I said, you know, you take that loss last week and you just don't know. You know, I'm sure the coaches challenged their kids this week, but sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And the kids come out flat. Again, when you go 7-0 and you get beaten the last week of the season, there's a chance that you're fragile. There's a chance that you then feel mortal. And what we've seen from Amherst tonight is anything but. The thing that impressed me is Amherst, it was what, 26-7 or 26-6, something like that. That's where we saw Amherst really take the big jump, actually. We just saw them pull away. The one big play they give up, and in eight-man football, that's going to happen to you, where you give up the big long pass or a long run. That happens. But what I've seen is Amherst be dominant tonight, up front, with skilled guys. They've played defense. They've played passionate football.
Well, a win will send them on to Fullerton, and as we talked about in the pregame, a meeting with maybe the best running back in the club. It's going to be, I think, easy to pick the two D1 running backs this year, Skinner of Hemingford and Sonderup of Fullerton.
And if you're Amherst and you want to end up playing close to Thanksgiving, you've got to go beat both of them, probably.
No doubt about it. Blue Hill will be going out to Hemingford, but Hemingford is really, 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 really good.
Gosh,
if you're playing,
really good.
If you're getting ready right here, Larry, for the second half, Ansley Litchfield's going to get the ball. I think we're going to learn a lot about the flow of the game. Will they come out and show the fire? They're going to coach them up to show that fire and try and take it down and punch it in. But I'm afraid if they don't, this game will be over quickly with the running clock. And Ansley Litchfield, remember, they're in that spot where this is the first time. I mean, they're 0-8 last year. They make the playoffs. They're very happy. They're not going to go to the Lincoln this year, but the key is to build and finish on something strong here.
Exactly. And what happens in that spot, and with Ansley Litchfield, and I've been in this spot, you know, you go 0-8, man, you come back and you make the playoffs, and it is an awesome week in your school. You sell a million T-shirts, and it's a big deal, and you had a giant pep rally this week and a big send-off today to get here. Then you get here, and the thing goes really poorly. In some spots, they do start looking at, even here, that it's been a good season. Think the arrows pointed up, those types of deals. If you're Amherst, what you need to do here is make a big statement, get a stop, get the ball back, jam it in, and then start filtering your kids out.
Yeah, and Amherst, as you said, can do that. They've got a lot more kids on their roster than what they do over at Ansley Litchfield.
But the only tough piece with that is because Ansley Litchfield's not going to be able to take a bunch of their frontline guys out because they don't have enough, that almost prevents Amherst from wholesale subbing because, again, if you put a bunch of freshmen and sophomores in there against a playoff team, and that's what it would be, who knows what could happen. I coached a game here several years ago, and the final score, we beat Amherst 70-50 and had a big lead at the half. So eight-man games can get crazy really fast. Last week, 50-48.
Yeah, right down, 52-48, right down to the very end. Volleyball sub-districts get underway on Monday up at Ord. Ansley Litchfield and Pat Hovland's got them going. They're a perfect 29-0. Ansley Litchfield will play Twin Loop in Ord at 4:30. Then South Loop will play Central Valley. That's at 6 o'clock. And it'll be a one-night sub-district. They'll play the final following that. Also for Amherst, it's a whole FKC tournament over at Lexington. Amherst, the 2 seed, will play Elm Creek at 5:45 Monday, and then most likely gets Axtell in the championship. Axtell will play Overton in the first round. We will be at Kearney High, where Kearney Catholic will play Cozad at 4:30, followed by Minden and Gothenburg, and then the championship, and then the C19 final from Grand Island. Central Catholic and St. Paul, the top 2 seeds there. Let's take a look right now at the first half stats of our football game. Here's what I've got for Ansley Litchfield. Haas Smith, 12 carries, 45 yards, 1 touchdown. Evan Brockmeyer, 3 carries, 3 yards. James Mills, 3 carries, 11 yards. And then Michael Shoemaker got sacked on the last 2 offensive possessions for a total of 17 negative yards. That's going to hurt him, 3 for -21. So that gives you 21 rushing attempts, 38 yards for Ansley Litchfield. Through the air, Shoemaker has put it up 14 times. He is 6 of 14, 1 interception. That was his first pass, 84 yards, including a 51-yard touchdown pass to the big man, Brady Rohde. 7 first downs, 1 penalty for 5 yards, 1 interception. They had a punt blocked, and then that led to a safety, and then they fumbled their first punt snap, which led to a short field, and that's where you're at for Ansley Litchfield. For Amherst, let's look at Colton Burke. I've got him 7 carries, 78 yards. Devin Dibbern, I've got him 7 carries, 52 yards, 3 touchdowns. Trey Tobenheim, 5 carries, 22 yards, 1 touchdown. So, unofficially, just 19 rushing attempts, getting totally away, Larry, from what Amherst has done most of the season, and it looks like that's 152 yards on the ground.
Here's what Coach Evans has done here, and this is where you have a guy that's, I don't know, this maybe is his 125th year or whatever it is as a Nebraska head coach. The thing is he's spreading this ball around tonight, Doug. That's what gets tough as an opposing coach in the playoffs. And deep in the season, you think you have an idea. Then you start breaking that film down and you say, man, it's not just number 10 we have to stop, or it's not just number 20, or it's not just 27. He's doing a very good job of that, and that does make things tough for Fullerton. To put that into perspective, Amherst knows that if they go to Fullerton next week and tackle Sundrup, they're probably going to win. That's not the case here with Amherst. They're really spreading it out.
Well, we're figuring up the passing yardage. That's been working as well.
Yeah, no question, Doug. I mean, you're seeing a situation where Amherst, because they have the run game going and the way they have the run game going, they're doing the run game with same sets. That's all jet motion, and then they jet boot off of it, and they're able to throw the ball with that. And the other key is when you have Braden Eckhout, 5'11", 160-pound junior. He's the fastest guy on the field, maybe the best athlete on the field, and there's nobody that can run with him.
I have got Trey Tobenheim with 20 pass attempts. Remember, 3 of them in a row were incomplete. 16 out of 20, no interceptions, 3 touchdowns, all to Braden Eckhout, 261 yards through the air, 152 on the ground, 17 first downs, 413 yards offense in the first half for Amherst. They have 3 penalties for 25 yards, 1 turnover, no punts.
Wow.
Your score at the half, 50-14 Amherst. You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. For quality, dependable trash hauling service for your farm, home, or business, contact the professionals at Ravenna Sanitation. The second half is next.
Now's the time to get in touch with Craig Weegis, your Pioneer sales professional, to learn about the early pay savings program options. There's still time to choose from 2 payment periods, each with its own level of savings. Whichever you select, you'll get the financial rewards of using industry-leading products and technologies. Act before November 20th to take advantage of the 10% cash discount from DuPont Pioneer. For more information, contact your local Pioneer sales professional, Craig Weegis. Science with service, delivering success.
Welcome back to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth. Amherst will put it boot it away to start the third quarter of play. And it's going to be punched right down the middle, taken at the five-yard line. And up the middle of the football field, Caleb Unick comes to the right side. He'll get to the 15, to the 18. Actually, they're going to put Ben Schrock back there that time. And he'll be brought down at the 19-yard line. But as we talked about during the break, Larry, if my numbers were right, I believe that Trey Tomenheim attempted 51 passes in the first seven games. In the last six quarters, he's thrown it 49 times.
Well, and that's the deal, because when you get in the playoffs, you go start lining up everybody's film, and you go get all their film from the beginning of the year, and you go get all that film, recent film. That gets tough now to lay that out. That takes a lot of practice time to prepare for.
So here we go. Haas Smith will take it on the first carry across the 20 to the 21 and then be gang tackled and shoved backwards 2 yards that time for Big Haas. And off the bottom of the pile, you've got Tanner Hercock.
Is there a better name for a middle linebacker or fullback in this whole world than Haas?
I love it. I love it. They've always had some good ones up there, Ansley and Litchfield. Kearney Catholic Volleyball suffers their first loss of the year tonight, but it comes to Class A North Platte in four sets. And here's the illegal procedure as the right side of the line took off too quick on Ansley Litchfield. That'll be just their second penalty of the ball game. But if my numbers here are correct, Kearney Catholic falls 15-25, 25-15, 25-23, 25-19 to North Platte, the first time that those teams have ever played.
Yeah, that was the same thing there, Doug, again on that penalty. The center forgot to snap the ball. And, you know, I played center, and I did that a few times, and it's never good when you're a below-average athlete like I was and you make mistakes like that.
So after a decent gain on first down, second and eight, halfback pass, throwing it out here in the flat. It is picked off and then dropped. I think we had a nice play as Braden Eckhout had it. Brady Rohde, the intended receiver, reached back and knocked it away as James Mills tried the halfback pass.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They ran it as a crossing route. They ran the sweep to the boundary, and from the field side, they brought him across. Normally you have that as a vertical route. And it let Eckhout play it. He just about made another incredible play on a ball.
Well, they ran it to the short side of the field, and Mills, you know, he didn't have to sell it real hard, and Eckhout was able to stay with his man. So third down and 14 after they readjust the yardage here on the scoreboard. Back to pass on third down over the middle. The pass was tipped, and it falls incomplete, attended for Marshall Coles. Also in the area was Evan Brockmeyer, but when it was tipped, they both had to put the brakes on, try and come back and get it. And so Ansley Litchfield, three and out.
Yeah, this is a tough deal here, but you can throw the ball here. The clock's going to run for you. You don't have to worry about that.
So the punt, they've had some problems in the punt game, but it looks like no rush. There's a nice punt into the wind by Shoemaker. Bounces at the 35 of Amherst, and Burke's just going to let it roll, and it goes out of bounds at the 30. So a 35-yard punt, no return, and you're right, it only stops for change of possession. Not even that once they get the ball marked. So it only stops for timeouts and scores or hopefully no injuries, but we've been fortunate in that spot.
No, with a running clock, this thing gets done fast.
Well, we're going to start talking about tomorrow's game, Gibbon, David City, Aquinas. You don't usually see a pair of teams that are both undefeated or both 8-1 where the feeling is it's going to be a big line. If this was college, you'd have a big line on it. Here's a counterplay on the first snap of the second half for Amherst. They give it to Burt. He's got room over the left side across the 35, gets into Spartan territory and pushed out of bounds at about the 37-yard line. That is a gain of 13. For Burt.
Yeah, it will be interesting, Doug. You know, a lot of people have talked about, geez, can you believe this matchup in the first round or this matchup in the second round of the C2 playoffs? Don't forget, this is kind of like the second round of the playoffs here as far as that goes, but you are exactly right. The one thing I'll tell you, if I was a David City Aquinas, a Sutton, a St. Cecilia, somebody like that, the last team I'd want to play is the Mark McLaughlin Coach Gibbon team. I can assure you of that.
Well, Coach Mimic had some good words, some very kind words, some fond words. He says they do a lot of things well as they hand it off over the right side. Dibbern doesn't get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. Again, he breaks containment. He gets inside the 30 to the 26. I thought they had him wrapped up, but no, a gain of 10.
Yeah, now that's Logan Dibbern. That wasn't Devin Dibbern. That's going to be Logan Dibbern that's going to come in and run that ball, Doug. That was a nice run. But no, you're exactly right. We played Gibbon this year, and they're big, they're tough, they're probably a year away. They have 17 of those kids coming back next year, but they do a lot of things good. They'll be well coached. They believe in what they're doing. That goes a long way, and I can assure you they're not afraid of Aquinas. You know, they had Norfolk Catholic last year.
Yeah, and played them competitively. First and 10 at the 26 after the 10-yard run. Tobenheim's going to hand it to his fullback, and just a couple of yards this time, working hard to get inside the 25. That time it is Devin Dibbern. He's going to get a couple.
But it is an interesting deal. You know, Mimic and that crew have got a lot of accolades, that's for sure. And
well, they've been in the last three state finals, and they've been in the state semifinals five straight years. Last year, they, of course, lost to Donovan Trumbull in the finals. When they won it 3 years ago, they beat Kearney Catholic in the finals. So it seems like every year we've had a chance to catch up with Coach Mimic in the playoffs. Second and 8 Amherst at the 24-yard line. Give it to Logan Dibbern, and this time he meets a big wall. And unfortunately, he's going to take the brunt of that one as the interior line throws him backwards. Slingsby finishes it off. Also in there, big number 42, Brady Rohde. You've got Brady and Landon both in there, and yeah, it's going to be a loss of one.
Eckhout's got his helmet off, has not been on the field for this series. Devin Dibbern just come off. He is starting to sprinkle younger guys here, Doug, quite a bit.
Well, with the running clock, we're already about halfway through the third quarter, 6:15 and counting. And for Ansley Litchfield, they've had it once. Amherst has had it once. Third and 9 at the 25 of the Spartan.
But I'm telling you right now, if I'm Ron Evans, it's number 3 that I want out of that game.
Tobenheim out of the I formation. He's under center, actually. He's going to hand it on a reverse from right to left. Some room out here to the 20, to the 15. Hadwiger sidesteps the third man, trying to fight to the end zone, and finally going to be drug out of bounds at the 6-yard line by James Mills. A gain from the 25 down to the 6, 19 on the end around, up 50-14.
Yeah, and that gives them a first down. You know, some would maybe get upset, but it is the playoffs, Doug. We're in the playoffs. It's big boy football now at this point. It is what it is. And it's third and long. There's nothing wrong with running a reverse there.
And sometimes you're trying to get to some of the kids the ball that don't get the ball all that often. Hadwiger hasn't been overly involved in the offense tonight.
If it's week two, you can get upset about that, but we get into big boy stuff when it's in the playoffs, and it just is what it is.
First and goal at the 6. Pitch play, left side, Logan Dibbern. He is going to be hit in the backfield, and this time not break free. The tackle made at the line of scrimmage, and coming in there is number 9, Bo Slingsby. It'll be second down and goal at the 6. 50-14, that was the score at halftime. And that is the score here as we're under 5 minutes to go in quarter number 3. Amherst will travel to Fullerton next Wednesday night.
Yeah, and if you're Amherst, you want to take as much time on every play, Doug. Just let that sucker run.
So Tobenheim talking with Cale Preble now, who's taken over at center. Out of the I formation. Snap. Fake the handoff, hit the second man through. The new back of the ball game is Chase Pearson, and he never really had a chance. He's wrapped up. So coming through and getting to these backups, good job. Ansley Litchfield still playing hard.
No question, and this is part of what we talked about. Ansley Litchfield doesn't have the depth to sub, so as Amherst does, we're going to see some of that stuff start to step off. But that is what you want to see. You've had a great season. Okay, we haven't had a great night, but who are you? And Ansley Litchfield's showing that they're willing to continue to play and play tough here.
So third down and goal at the 9-yard line now for Amherst. Tanner Hercock lines up at the right guard. Peyton Shockey, the left guard, out of the I formation. Tobenheim, hard count, fakes it. He's going to keep it himself around the right end. Looks for Eckhout to block. And the younger Eckhout, Holden, does. But too many numbers that time as they are able to trace Tobenheim down after a gain of 2. It'll be fourth and goal at the 7.
Yeah, and Coach Evans is trying to get a play call there, and he's telling him, you go here and you go here, and that's what happens. You get these young guys in there, and a lot of times the play caller, you've built your game plan for the entire week, but that game plan is predicated on certain players being in certain spots, and it's hard to get those gears shifted.
So fourth and goal, and they better hustle here if they don't want to get a delay of game penalty. And they will go for it. Fourth and goal at the 7. Tobenheim takes it. Simple pitch play left side. Logan Dibbern gets to the 5. Follows his blockers to the 2, but he stood up there and will not quite get there. So a gain of 5 for Logan Dibbern. And the first time tonight that Amherst has not scored on one of their possessions. They did fumble it away on one possession down inside the 5. but still no punts. And taking it over at about the 3-yard line will be Ansley Litchfield with 2:50 here in the third quarter, 50-14 Amherst.
Yeah, and see here, look who comes off limping. Tobenheim there comes off limping there a little bit, Doug, but they still have Pribble. They've still got Pribble, Burt, Dibbern, Eckout. They've still got them all on defense.
And Coach Evans over here, he might have got one in the gut or the back. He's bent over. Looked like he might have lost a little fluids there. I couldn't tell. He was right in front of his teammates. And on first down, we've got a counter play here for Ansley Litchfield. It goes for Little over the left side.
Yeah, they're checking his back, but you're right, Doug. I think he is losing some fluids there.
Yeah, there is a penalty flag. Thought I saw one there on the field that blew the play dead. And so a holding on Ansley Litchfield. It's going to be about a 2-yard penalty, 1.5-yard penalty.
I'll just tell you, that's one of those deals as a coach now. You look up to the Almighty and say, please don't let him be hurt. I promise I won't put him back in.
Yeah. So Tobenheim, they're taking a look over here with the trainers and the coaches, just trying to get his wind. So it'll be first down at about 11 at their own 2. And they'll hand it off to the fullback, and Haas Smith trying to work his way forward. And he makes a second effort and pushes forward to about the 10.
Boy, he's tough, Doug, and that's still against a lot of the starters. I mean, for the most part, they're starting to run some of them off, but they got Amherst has most of their starters still on there.
Gain of about 7 on the play. It'll be second down and 3. We'll say a gain of 8 because of the 2 yards they lost on the holding penalty. Move the ball out to the 10-yard line. Again, with the running clock, once the score gets to 35 or more in the second half, the clock runs continuously. Again, they will give it to Smith. Smith comes right up the middle. There's 7-8 guys in the middle of that pile. He's going to move it forward to the 13 and should have enough for the first down where our line judge is standing.
You know, it's interesting. When you look at this Ansley Litchfield team, Doug.
Oh, we got a man down.
Yeah.
We got a man down, and it's the big fella Landon Rohde. And he looks like he is reaching for his back, too. And so a mark of the ball looks like it should be enough for the first down for Haas Smith. But we've got an injury timeout. So you've got Rohde down right now on the field for Ansley Litchfield. And a moment ago, Trey Tobenheim trotted off. And now he is standing on the sideline. This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back into the game of life, 2 locations in Kearney. An injury timeout on the field, a first down signaled. It'll be first and 10 Ansley Litchfield at their own 14. Amherst leads it 50-14 with a minute 25 to go in the third quarter here on ESPN Radio.
For all your custom slaughtering and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats has everything you need to fill your freezer with locally raised beef and pork. From steaks, roast, and hamburger, why go anywhere else when you have the best meat right here in Amherst? Belschner is a very proud supporter of all of our youth and their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in and out of the game.
No matter where you are, even out in this cornfield, when you work with CHS, you're connected. Connected to global grain buyers and food companies. Connected to dependable energy at the pump, at home, and on the job. Connected to food ingredients tailored to your specific needs. Whether it's in energy, grains, or foods, you're connected. CHS, resources for enriching lives.
Well, the junior Landon Rohde is still walking slowly to the sidelines. Probably the last time that we'll see him tonight. It looks like something in that lower back. Probably got bent over or bent across on the bottom of that pile. First down and 10 at their own 14, Ansley Litchfield. As we come back to play, they'll just crash off right guard. Haas Smith hanging onto the football, has both arms wrapped around it as he'll cross the 15 and grind towards the 18, another 4.
But as I was saying earlier, Doug, when you look at this Ansley Litchfield team, they graduate 5 seniors. They bring back plenty, but also they don't – I know they don't have a ton of numbers, but they play about 15 kids. You know, so they play a lot of kids.
On the offensive side of the ball, too, two of the eight offensive starters are seniors, and that's Bo Slingsby as well as your guard, Tanner Hawkins. And then you rotate in at end, Caleb Unick. He's the only other senior that you're going to be losing. Back to pass, Shoemaker wants to throw for it all into double coverage, turning over one shoulder, then the other. It falls incomplete to Brady Rohde. Looked over his left shoulder instead of his right. If he looks over his right shoulder the first time, he makes that catch down to about the 30.
And you've got to tell him, son, we're never throwing that ball back into the middle of the field. You've got to look over your sideline shoulder there.
And even though it's an incomplete pass with the running clock, we have it running right now and could be the last play of the quarter. 15 seconds to go, third and five at their own 18-yard line. They will break the huddle, come up over the ball. Center grabs it with 7 seconds. Shoemaker is under center on third and five. Two backs behind him. He'll get the snap away. Hand it off to the second man through. That is James Mills. And Mills will not get the first down. In fact, he's only going to get about a yard out to the 20-yard line. And that is going to end the third quarter of play with that continuous clock. It moves quickly. No scoring in the third quarter after we saw a total of 6 touchdowns in the second quarter. Amherst 50, Ansley Litchfield 14. You're listening to the state playoffs brought to you in part by AgXL, your precision fertilizer application experts located in Kearney or online at agxcel.com. AgXL, where precision meets the soil. The fourth quarter is next. Amherst leading it 50-14.
Five Points Bank. We're proud our bankers have the ability to take care of customers in the Kearney area. One of our bank's true differences is our bankers have a true Kearney connection, important in providing the best in banking. Our staff is proud they've lived in Kearney for years. Many have been lifelong residents. Having a true Kearney connection means caring and being involved in the community and committed to making banking work for the people of Kearney. Bank with Five Points Bank. The better bank. The bank with a true Kearney connection. Good things will happen.
Ryan Trampy is a very proud supporter of all area sports. Ever wonder what sets Channel Seed products apart from other seed? It's a direct connection to Monsanto, a company consistently recognized as a leader in seed and trait technology. Tested globally, locally, and then combined with the latest traits and treatments to ensure performance potential on your acres. Thanks to the farmers, Channel Seed is now the third largest seed corn brand and fourth largest soybean seed brand in the country. Best of luck to all the athletes today from Ryan Trampy, your Channel Seed dealer.
Well, Ansley Litchfield will punt it away, and Colton Burke will take it at his own 23, return it across the 30 to the 31-yard line. It was a 37-yard punt, an 8-yard return, and Amherst will have it first and 10 at their own 30, leading it 50-14. They'll advance on to play Fullerton Wednesday night at Fullerton. Beautiful facility, a little bit of a drive ahead of them, but we'll be following them as well coming up next Wednesday night among our many games. In a moment, we'll hit the scoreboard again here.
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad news, but Trey Tobenheim's back on the field.
He is in at quarterback. Came off hobbling and maybe just got one in the gut last time. Hands it to Dibber. That's Logan over the left side. He makes a man miss, runs over another at midfield, and he's got the first down on the first down carry. First play of the drive, and he's going to pick up about 12 yards. Logan, 26 yards on 5 carries. The 21st first down, Larry.
That was a really nice run, Doug.
The youngsters would like to get one on the board here. 50-14, Amherst. Tobenheim threw for 261 yards in the first half and 3 touchdown passes, all to Braden Eckhout. He also had a touchdown run. Devin Dibbern, 3 touchdown runs.
And Devin Dibbern's in at fullback still.
On first down, they'll give it to him, and he is hit immediately. They try to wishbone those legs to bring him down. There's Haas Smith in there along with Bo Slingsby. And a no gain on the play for Devin Dibbern for Ansley Litchfield. Their 2 scores, a 3-yard run by Haas Smith and a 51-yard touchdown pass from Shoemaker to Brady Rohde down the middle of the field.
Yeah, and most of they still got starters in up front as well for Amherst.
And I guess maybe this is one of those where you wait to see who plays their tips their hand first. Ron doesn't want to bring in really undersized kids against
Ansley
the Rohde boys.
Exactly right. That's my point earlier when I was talking about it in the first half. Ansley can't.
Fumble. Logan Dibber lost the ball, but it's jumped on. Tobenheim keeps it alive. It squirts forward again, and Amherst is going to cover it. They're only going to end up losing a couple of yards on the play. It's going to be third down at about 11.
Yeah, this is that piece that we talked about in the first half. They just literally can't, Doug, because you'll be playing all your young guys against a varsity team. Ansley just doesn't have the guys to sub.
Here comes Colin Jackson into the ball game, a freshman, number 33. Third and 11 at the 37 of Ansley Litchfield. Again, after not winning a game last year, they're headed in the right direction. Still new for these seniors. They weren't even in a part of a co-op when they were freshmen. Third 11, Tobenheim hands it off. Ball bobbled a little bit and hit as soon as he gets the ball. Dropped behind the line of scrimmage by Haas Smith will be the senior Logan Dibbern, and he's going to lose another yard on the play. Fourth down, and Amherst might have to punt for the first time.
And you just absolutely love to see Ansley Litchfield still playing as tough as they are. And that looks to me like Rhodey's back on the field, Doug.
Yeah, that's good.
That is good.
He is back in there at nose guard after getting rolled up on the offense on the last possession. 50-14 Amherst, 8:20 and counting to go in the ball game. There's been no scoring in the second half. High snap goes through the hands of Holden Eck out, and he is going to be drilled back at the 20-yard line. Haas Smith got there first, but it was a high snap, and Ansley Litchfield's got a chance to put some points on the board.
Yes, they do, and they're in a good spot here. They should be able to convert here, Doug.
So a big old team fumble that time. Not what they're looking for, and that's going to lose them. Boy, 37 back to the 21, 16 yards on the punt.
Yeah, now that you've got Rhodey back in the game, you'd like to just run it right at him here and make something happen.
Yeah, you still got, as you said, most of the starters in the football game. A couple of younger kids on the field for Amherst. 50-14, and if Ansley Litchfield scores, we go back to the regular clock.
Exactly.
They'll run
right.
Veer, inside toss. Haas Smith out of the right slot, turns the left corner. 15, lowers his shoulder, stays in bounds until about the 11-yard line. Did a nice tightrope act to pick up about five more. Might cheat him a little bit there, same closer to the 12 than the 10.
Yeah.
And that'll be short of the first down, a gain of 9.
I love the play call, Doug, there. They went speed option and ran the reverse back the other side. And off the speed option, he pitched it back going the other way, and Ansley did a nice job, Ansley Litchfield did, blocking that up.
7 minutes and counting. Ansley Litchfield has it second and two at the Amherst 12. The wind is really kicked up again. Give it to Rhodey as a fullback, and they try to bring him down around the ankles. 4-5 Amherst Broncos, and I think they bring him down short of the first down.
Yeah, they get him going forward. He's pretty tough
boy
to bring down, no kidding.
So Rhodey ran in a two-point conversion earlier in the ball game, and Landon will get 1 yard on that one, and it'll bring up third and one.
Yeah, and I think they've still got him in the backfield, Doug.
Also back there, big number 45, James Mills. On third and one, they'll give it to Mills, and he is tripped to the backfield. He caught the leg of his own lineman, and now we got a fight.
Ooh, yeah.
And we got some tempers going out there. Coming through to make the tackle was Colton Burke. No gain for Mills. And there were a couple of young men in there back and forth, hands in the face. And
well, here's the thing, and I understand, like, that's not a good thing, right? You know, Ansley Litchfield guy gets fired up there, but I love to see it if I'm a coach from Ansley Litchfield. We're getting thumped 50-14, and my guy's not going to let you talk to me that way. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. We need to keep our hands to ourselves and that kind of thing, but I like to see that fight. That's something this program didn't have here in the last year or two.
And the young officials do the right thing and call a personal foul on both teams, so that means that there will be no penalty. They offset, and it'll be fourth down and a yard here, a yard and a half basically for Ansley Litchfield, trying to get in the end zone and get this lead under 35. 50-14 Amherst. Clock continues to run as we approach 6 minutes to go in the game. Amherst will go to 8-1 tonight. They got Haas Smith back in the backfield. Shoemaker, the quarterback. And you got to figure Haas is going to get it. He does up the middle. He's got the first down. He gets into the secondary. Puts his hand on the ground, keeps his balance, and gets in for the touchdown. A 12-yard touchdown run for Haas Smith, his second of the night.
Well, he bulldogged his way in there, Doug. That was a nice run.
Great job of balance because everybody's packed in the middle, so you know you're going to be knocked off your feet. He put his hand down at the 5, and he kept his balance long enough to dive for the goal line, 50-20.
Yeah, he did a wonderful job there. And again, that's what I'm talking about. There's just no quit in them. They weren't good enough tonight, but that's it. You know, they put everything forward that they should.
They'll go for two. Shoemaker under center, two backs, motioning out of the backfield is Mills, and they will roll to the right. Shoemaker throws it into the end zone, and it is caught for the two-point conversion. And I believe that was Bo Slingsby to haul it in for the two. So we go back to regulation timing, 5:51 to go in the ball game. Amherst 50, Ensley Litchfield 22 on the state playoffs here on ESPN.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
And welcome back to high school football here on ESPN Radio, KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings. State football playoffs brought to you by Tom Dinsdale Automotive at the corner of Stolly Park and South Webb Road, Grand Island, and DinsdaleAuto.com. So if you're Amherst, they've stayed with their number ones all throughout the game. Will they do that here on this next drive?
I would say so. You see that Amherst has added a guy up front. No, they only had three. Now they've gone to four. Earlier was the time.
Anticipating a possible onside kick. Marshall Coles is the place kicker. And we're ready to get it going. And Coles just going to boot it, a low line drive, and it gets through the hands of Burke. He'll have to go back and pick it up at the five. Starts right now, tries to alter his course, and nowhere to go. He gets to the 10, and will be brought down at the 11-yard line. First and 10, Broncos. Score updates from the Valentino Hotline. We deliver the scores. They deliver the great pizza. It is Elm Creek 61, Arapahoe 22 as they play in the fourth quarter. Burwell beat Perkins County today. Fullerton beat Sutherland 72-30, trying to get you some scores that are in progress for games in the area. And Selma Myrna 68-12 over Southwest in the fourth quarter of play. Also, Maxwell 40, Medicine Valley 28 in the third. Brady 42-14 over Overton. They are in the fourth quarter of play. Giltner 74, Lawrence Nelson 28. Handoff left side and room to run. Getting to the 20 before his knee is touching is going to be Colton Burke. And that's going to be right short of that first down marker, a 9-yard gain.
I mean, all the starters are out there. That's the starting offense, basically. But I suppose, you know, the clock's no longer running, Doug.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you, I guess?
Kennesaw has pulled away in the second half. They lead Meridian 42-14 on Classic Hits 98-9. That's in the fourth quarter as well. And that wind's really howling, about as strong as it's been all night. And nobody's too warm right now. Second and one. They'll hand it off left side and getting into the secondary again, keeping the legs churning. Burke gets across the 25 to the 28, maybe to the 29. A gain of nine more as he's over 100 yards tonight. 22 first downs unofficially again. Amherst just tore it up in the first half. If you're joining us late, they went for over 400 yards of offense in the first half. 261 through the air.
And the thing is here, you see the clock's no longer running, so they're going to get tough and they're able to do it. That's kind of a good sign to see Amherst. They went and sat down, a lot of them. Now they've come back and they're able to cock the hammer and go.
Doug Duda, Larry Baker with you here on ESPN Radio and PlatteRiverPreps.com. First and 10, Amherst at their own 29, leading it 50-22 over Ansley Litchfield. Slot back. They'll hand it to the lone back in the backfield, and that is going to be Dibbern. And he'll turn the corner but run into the Spartan wall right there. Logan Dibbern going to pick up. Was it Logan or Devin that
That's
time?
That's Devin.
Yeah, Devin carried it that time. Going to be a gain of three, we'll say.
Yeah, and you're right about the wind. You know, if you're familiar with Amherst's setup, the baseball diamond or an old softball diamond sits just off the field, and every now and then you're seeing giant plumes of dust go across the football field.
There's been some Hall of Famers play over here, haven't there? On both the football and the softball field slash diamond. 4 minutes to go and counting. Amherst out of the I formation now. Tobenheim under center. Here comes a blitz. They'll hand it off to Devin Dibbern. Stiff arm in the backfield, but he's going to be caught and brought down by Grady Stunkel at the line of scrimmage. No gain.
Boy, I understand, but there were some shots I don't want my guy taking right now. I mean, because Ansley Litchfield's still bringing it. And I get it. Dibbern's a big, tough kid, but there's only so many shots in your body in a season.
Well, if your starters are getting some shots right now, imagine what the backups would be having to take from the starting defensive line here for Ansley Litchfield. Still playing strong. And again, every snap here is going to you have to hope improve them for a team that's probably going to go very well next year and make a run in the playoffs. This is a team that definitely has a chance to be a 7-1 type of ball club,
Not better. No question.
And here's illegal procedure. They tried to get a quick snap. Trey Tomanheim wasn't happy, but his guard took off, and that's a 5-yard penalty.
No, you're exactly right about Anthony Litchfield, Doug. And they're going to, like we've said, you know, there are five guys that are going to go, but they've played, you know, they suited up 20 kids or whatever. And I mean, they've played 15, 16 guys tonight. So they'll bring guys back that can play. They've got big bodies. They're tough.
Don't forget the CPI Mr. Tire scoreboard show with radio recaps of the five games we've covered today and all the Class D scores on Classic Hits 98.9 and 1230 KHAS after the games tonight. Tomorrow night here on ESPN, Kearney Catholic will host Boys Town. Larry and I will be in David City, Aquinas Gibbon on Classic Hits 98.9. Third and 13 at the 26. Simple handoff off the right side. Logan Divert has a little bit of a hole to get back to the 30, yeah, to the 31, and a late flag.
They tackled him by his helmet, Doug. There's no doubt about that one.
So it's going to be a gain of 5 on the play for Logan. And that 15-yard face mask will keep the ball in the hands of Amherst.
Yeah, my guess
if it's a first down, 15-yard face mask, which it should be.
Yeah, no doubt. And where he's standing, where the forward progress was, it's going to be a first down. My guess is Ansley Litchfield won't get it back.
And that's exactly what it is, the personal foul face mask. 15-yard penalty. Another first down for Amherst. 2:41 to go in the game. 50-22, and that's without Amherst scoring here in the second half of play. College football and NFL football going on tonight. Sometimes I forget about that. New Orleans Saints 14-0 over Carolina at the half. And we may be joining that here after our game on ESPN. And then in college football, number one in the AP poll, Florida State trailing Louisville, but now it's 24-21 Louisville, 4.5 to go in the third quarter. Here it's 50-22, Amherst, and now
that's motion on
more
Amherst.
Flags.
That's motion on Amherst. They were going with an orbit motion there with the wing, and he started forward.
And again, you say, why don't you just line up and run it forward? Well, they have been most of the last two drives here, and Ansley Litchfield selling out and really stopping them. And so they're trying to get one or two snaps here where they can get away and maybe push the ball down the field a little farther.
You'd like to score in the second half, Doug.
Yeah. Coming up, we will have the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show with all the final stats. As they hand it off the left side, it's going to be Logan Dibbern, and he will get into Ansley Litchfield territory from just his side of the 40 to the 36-yard line. That's going to be a gain of 5.
Yeah,
he's had plenty of chances here in this second half.
Yeah,
Logan.
He has. They've given him the ball a bunch. He wasn't on the field a lot on offense in that first half, or defense for that matter, and they've fed him the ball quite a bit here.
2 minutes and counting to go in our ball game. Amherst put this one away midway through the second quarter. Now they lead it 50-22. Second and 10 at the 35. They will hand it off again. This time, Logan Dibbern hit by Bo Slingsby. He kind of spins off of him and falls forward for another couple yards here. And he's going to pick up about 3. It'll be third down and 7.
He's not as fast as his brother, but he's tough. He's every bit as tough, that's for sure.
Kind of the injuries really slowed him down throughout his career. They've been able to find guys just as talented, more talented, to take the snaps. While he had to be on the sidelines sometimes for a whole year.
Yeah, that's
or at
exactly
least a whole
right.
season. 1:10, third and 8 at the 32 of Ansley Litchfield, staying out of the I formation. Tomanheim, everybody comes. They give it to Logan off the left side, and there's nowhere to go. He's picked up and thrown down by Brady Rohde, and here comes more penalty flags.
And it should have been, Doug. That's going to be on Ansley Litchfield. That one's just silly.
Just threw him down too hard?
Yeah, well, it was just silly. I mean, the play was stopped. They blew the whistle, and he tries to give him the big heave-ho.
And again, still a lot of which is kind of unusual because I don't think of there being a whole lot of interaction between Ansley Litchfield and Amherst in a lot of things.
Well,
they'll see each other wrestling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as a rivalry.
Oh, no,
as far
I
as a rivalry,
so. No.
And the both games have had a little bit of this.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think so. see each other a little bit in wrestling, but I can't think of a matchup where there's been somewhat of a rival there between them, that's for sure.
Under a minute to go with the 15-yard penalty. It'll put it all the way down at Ansley Litchfield 17, and now Amherst will line up in the victory formation. Trey Tomenheim takes it, takes a knee, and the clock will run, and this is where you got to
get him off
keep
the field.
Your head.
Yep, yeah, like here, just get him off the field.
And so we just want to take the knee one more time, and this one will be in the book. So there wasn't a whole lot of excitement in the second half, but, Larry, we didn't need it. There was plenty of it in the first half.
No, you're exactly right. They lit the thing up and hit the gas like they needed to.
And it'll get the folks out of the cold and home or wherever they need to go on a Thursday night.
Exactly right.
High school football, second week of the playoffs, and when they get down to the 16 next Wednesday. Tomenheim under center for the final snap of the ball game. He'll take it. He'll take a knee, and that's going to wrap things up as the clock will run out the final 10 seconds. The season will end for Ansley Litchfield at 5-4, but five more wins and a playoff berth than they had last year. And for Amherst, they come back off the tight four-point loss on this field a week ago to Burwell and improve to 8-1. With a 50-22 victory, they're off to Fullerton next Wednesday evening. All of the kickoff times will be announced tomorrow, and we'll bring those to you tomorrow morning on the sports and, of course, during the Doug and Daddy Show. We're not done yet, though. We'll take a look at the scores, all of the stats and more coming up on the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show here on ESPN Radio.
Is back pain keeping you from doing the activities you enjoy? Is hip, knee, or ankle pain making even the shortest walks difficult? Is hand, wrist, or finger pain making you cut tasks short or take frequent pauses? New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery is here to tell you that you don't have to live with the pain. With training in a wide range of specialties, New West has the doctor to get you back into the game. Schedule your appointment today. No referral is necessary. All major insurances accepted.
The 3Ls of PlatteRiverPreps.com. Log on for info on all your favorite teams with links to articles organized by school and sport. Listen to any of the radio broadcasts on our five Platte River radio stations and download podcasts to past events. And like us on Facebook to get select pictures and breaking news of high school sports going on. Platte River Preps, your one-stop source for high school sporting news, covering over 100 teams across the state of Nebraska. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com.
And welcome back to ESPN Radio's coverage of the state football playoffs. It's time for the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show. Certified and fellowship-trained physicians providing a superior standard of care with no referral necessary. No matter the activity, New West is here to get you back to it. Schedule your appointment today. Doug Duda, Larry Baker with you here from Amherst. The final score, 50-22. Amherst eliminates Ansley Litchfield from the playoffs and will advance on to the round of 16 next week. Here are your score updates. In a D1 in the West bracket, top seed Creighton beat Twin Loop 56-7. Looks like they'll get Neely Oakdale. The 9 seed will beat the 8 seed Elgin 33-14. Anytime that happens, that home and away travel thing gets messed up down the road because now Creighton will be on the road. And then that means that they would host the Burwell Elm Creek winner in the third round because Elm Creek has taken care of Arapahoe 67-22 in the fourth. Burwell beat Perkins County today 52-20. Hemingford was up 64-0 at half and beat Shelton 71-14. They'll host Blue Hill, and we'll have that for you next Wednesday on our network of stations. Blue Hill took care of North Central 55-27. As we said, Amherst will head to Fullerton. Fullerton beat Sutherland today 72-30. In the East, it is Friend 36, Cross County 8 in the third quarter. The winner gets Diller Odell, who beat High Plains 67-30. Guardian Angels over Pawnee City 64-2. They'll travel to Howells Dodge, who beat Cedar Bluffs 60-14. Heartland beats Lord's Central Catholic 74-6, but they'll have to hit the road because the 11 seed Clarkson Lee beats the 6 seed Hardington Newcastle 34-26. Bloomfield rallies to beat Scribner Snyder, the 7 over the 10, 66-56. Bloomfield heads to Bruning Davenport Shickley, who shut out Omaha Christian 50-0. So in D1 tonight, no major surprises, one mini upset, Larry.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. And a lot of times these 8-9s, because no different than Amherst, if they win that game last week, that one simple win, they're a much bigger seed. So I don't see like an 8-9 or anything like that much of an upset.
And then you take a look at D2. Anselmo Myrna, the top seed in the West, beats Southwest 76-20. Paxton leads Potter Dix 40-32 in the third quarter. Elwood 56-0 over Loomis. And they will travel to Sand Hills Thedford, who shut out Hitchcock County tonight by a score of 49-0. It's a battle. Maxwell 40, 14 seed Medicine Valley 34 in the third quarter. And they will host, whoever wins that will host Bertrand, who beat Hay Springs 48-20. Brady will defeat Overton. They're up 48-22 in the fourth quarter. Garden County getting more than they want from Mullen tonight. Garden County 28, Mullen 19 in the fourth quarter. In the D2 East, Exeter Milligan eliminates Red Cloud. Exeter Milligan, the defending state champion, top seed 56-6. They will host Chambers, Wheeler Central, who downed Why Not 49-20. Giltner about ready to wrap things up, leading Lawrence Nelson 74-28. They'll travel to Humphrey St. Francis, who beat O'Neill St. Mary's 70-14. On Classic Hits 98.9, they're in the fourth quarter. Kennesaw 48, Meridian 20. And the winner of that will get Randolph, it looks like, leading Bancroft Rosalie 30-6. And finally, Falls City Sacred Heart over Emerson Hubbard 52-13. Stewart blanks Osceola 48-0. Stewart will host Falls City Sacred Heart Wednesday in a rematch of last year's D2 state final. And I know Stewart would have really liked to have been in the West bracket.
Yeah, no question. Wow, are we going to get offense in that thing? Because Stewart, you know, we know went to the finals last year with big offense, but got really handled. But that offense is for real that they have. And Sacred Heart doesn't – they're really good, but they don't quite have what they had last year. That should be a pretty interesting game, Doug. But no question would you have liked to have seen them in the other side of the bracket.
Well, we will take a look at the final stats of our ball game as Amherst takes care of Ansley Litchfield 50-22. It's coming up next on the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show.
New Tech Seed is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Head to Tom Dinsdale Automotive for a trucker SUV that works as hard as you do. Get 0% financing for 60 months with approved credit on a 2014 three-quarter ton Chevy or GMC truck. Or get 0% financing for 60 months with approved credit on a 2014 Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, or Traverse. Or GMC Acadia, Yukon, or Yukon XL. Go to DinsdaleTrucks.com today.
Tom Dinsdale, your truck destination.
Doug Duda, Larry Baker back with you here as the crowd heads for the warmth after Amherst 50-22 win over Ansley Litchfield. These are always interesting too, Larry, because look where these two programs were at the end of the regular season last year. Amherst, three really great seniors that they lost and ended up losing that last regular season game, then going all the way to the semifinals. Ansley Litchfield doesn't win a football game. So coming into this year, the expectations for both teams, totally different. Amherst wanted to make a run, had Lincoln on their minds. Ansley Litchfield just trying to win some games, and lo and behold, they're in the playoffs, and it'll be a whole, maybe almost a reversal of what you think about these teams going into next year.
That's what I was just going to say, is that you've got a situation where this Ansley Litchfield team is going to bring back a good core of guys, the right attitudes, things like that. And for Amherst, this is their shot to make a run.
Well, let's take a look at the final stats. And again, they'll be skewed. We had the running clock for all but 5 minutes of the second half, so not near as many plays were run. For Ansley Litchfield, Haas Smith led the way, 18 carries, 84 yards, and two touchdowns. Landon Rohde, one carry, 1 yard. Evan Brockmeyer, 3 carries, 3 yards. James Mills, 5 carries, 13 yards. Michael Shoemaker didn't really carry the ball tonight. They had a fumbled snap, and then he got sacked on the last two offensive plays of the second quarter. So 3 carries, negative 21. That's 30 rushing attempts, 80 yards tonight for Ansley Litchfield. 9 rushing attempts for 52 yards or 42 yards in the second half. Through the air, Ansley Litchfield only tried to put it up twice with Shoemaker and then one halfback pass from Mills. So 0-for-3 total in the second half. In the first half, Shoemaker was 6-of-14 with an interception and a touchdown pass. 84 through the air, 80 on the ground, 164 yards of total offense for Ansley Litchfield. They had 10 first downs. They did punt the ball five times. They attempted to punt it seven times. They dropped the snap, got tackled on the first of series, and then had a punt blocked where Hadwiger got through and blocked his man into the punt. They did have the one interception of the ball game, five penalties for 42 yards for Ansley Litchfield. For Amherst, Colton Burke, 10 carries, 109 yards. Logan Dibbern got all 11 of his carries in the second half. He really took the workload, 11 carries, 36 yards. Devin Dibbern, 11 carries, 57 yards, three rushing touchdowns. Ty Hadwiger, one carry, 19 yards. Chase Pearson, one carry for negative three. Trey Tobenheim, six carries, 24 yards and a touchdown. And then negative 16 when they snapped it over the punter's head. So that was really the only negative play of the whole day. 41 rushing attempts for 226 yards. They were 19 for 152 in the first half, and so they had 22 rushes for 74 yards in the second half. They did not attempt the pass at all in the second half. In the first half, Trey Tobenheim was 16 out of 20, no interceptions, three touchdown passes, all to Eckhout for 261 yards.
And really, Doug, it was kind of 19 out of 20 late in the half. You know, he has the three incompletions, but the thing is, when you look at that, that was quite a run. I mean, he went on quite a run there.
10 straight completions.
Yeah, and you don't see that most generally in a high school game, really in any class.
I mean, none of them were really dump-offs. Every completion went for 9 or more yards, most of them 15 or more.
He was actually throwing one of the toughest routes, that post corner, and they were running that thing really as a corner. That thing ends like a smash route. That is a very hard throw to make, and I mean, he must have completed that six times.
261 through the air, 226 on the ground, 487 for the game, only 74 that came in the second half. No punts, had one fumble that were heading in, got punched out. They fumbled it at the Ansley Litchfield 4-yard line in the first quarter and had five penalties for 35 yards in the contest. I had Amherst for 24 first downs. So that is what you had for Amherst, 487 to 164. We'll be back with the Buffalo County Farm Bureau scoring wrap after this.
When you need power, think Husker Power Products, your full-service irrigation engine headquarters. Husker Power Products is your provider of GM natural gas and propane engines, Isuzu diesel, all customized for your application. A business backed by fast response, service when you need it, and straightforward answers. Think locally owned and operated Husker Power Products when you need power. Located at 2955 West Highway 6 in Hastings or online at HuskerPowerProducts.com.
Hi, I'm Sally McCann with AgXL, your liquid fertilizer application experts in Kearney, Nebraska. Harvest is coming to an end, which means a planting season is right around the corner. What if I told you that I could help increase your yields next year? Well, I can if you let AgXL design a system for you. Stop in our Kearney showroom or on the web at agxcel.com or call me, Sally McCann, at AgXL. That's AgXCEL, where precision meets the soil.
Welcome back to the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show here on ESPN Radio. Only had one score there in the second half, but for Amherst, they really got things going on their first possession of the ball game. Took them a whole minute and 28 seconds. But at the 27 of Ansley Litchfield, Tobenheim empty backfield, wants to go deep, throws it as far as he can. It's a jump ball, but it's caught, and it's a touchdown for Braden Eckhout. The first of three times that Tobenheim hooked up with Eckhout, and that's the opener of our Buffalo County scoring wrap, Buffalo County Farm Bureau. Everything you need covered, wrapped up in one great insurance agent, Buffalo County Farm Bureau in Kearney. So Ansley Litchfield deferred, Amherst took things over. The 27-yard touchdown pass from Tobenheim to Eckhout. Trevor Adelung adds the kick, completing the 64-yard drive. 10:32 to go, first quarter, 7-0. Then Colton Burke. Ansley Litchfield started on a good drive, but threw it right into the belly of Colton Burke at the Amherst 35-yard line. And after a touchdown was actually called back on a hold, a 19-yard pass from Tobenheim to Eckhout completed a 45-yard drive where they connected and converted on 3rd and 20. The kick made it 14-0. Then the next series for Ansley Litchfield is where they fumbled the punt snap, and it was recovered at the Ansley Litchfield 3. Is that right? Yeah, at the 3, because then the next time we had that fumble recovery, Shoemaker, but they ended up punting it. A 10-yard run by Quarterback Trey Tomenheim with 1:15 to go in the first quarter. Adelung's kick. It's 21-0 at the end of one. Then Devin Dibbern, 90 seconds into the second quarter, an 11-yard run to cap a 74-yard drive. Slingsby, Bo Slingsby blocked the extra point, so it's 27-0. And then Ansley Litchfield gets on the board, a 49-yard drive completed on a 3-yard Haas-Smith touchdown run. The two-point pass was no good, and that made it 27-6 with 7:50 to go in the second quarter. And then with 3:50 to go, that's when things got crazy. Devin Dibbern completes the drive, a 1-yard run. The extra point makes it 34-6. After the kickoff, a one-play, 51-yard touchdown drive from Shoemaker to Brady Rohde. The two-point conversion was good on the Rohde run, 34-14. Amherst says, just fine. We'll drive it 60 yards, and we'll do it in 57 seconds. A 15-yard touchdown pass, the third from Tomenheim to eke out the kick, makes it 41-14. And then Devin Dibbern, after they stop him again with a minute 37 to go, a 19-yard run, a one-play drive off after a good punt return, 48-14. They stop Ansley Litchfield again. The punt gets blocked through the end zone for a safety. That gave us our halftime score of 50-14. The 36-point lead gives us the continuous clock. Nobody scored in the third quarter. The only score was a 12-yard run by Ansley Litchfield's Haas-Smith. A 4th-and-1, he takes it 12 yards with 5:51 to go. And Bo Slingsby hauls in the 2-point conversion pass, making the final score Amherst 50 and Ansley Litchfield 22. Your scoring wrap-up brought to you by Buffalo County Farm Bureau. Everything you need covered, wrapped up in one great insurance agent, Buffalo County Farm Bureau in Kearney. Well, Larry, I was, after watching last week, figured Amherst to be a pretty big underdog next week. Now I'm not so sure. Fullerton's going to be very, very tough to stop, though. This is going to be by far the best football team they play.
Yeah, there's no question. I think one of the keys is, especially as you went through your run up there, Amherst, this whole thing really turns in. Not that Amherst was ever in trouble in this game, but it was that crazy exchange that happened right at the end of the half where it was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And Amherst really seemed to flex its muscle right there. And I will tell you, they're fast. They're able to do lots of different things. Now, they're going to face a team next week that's going to be able to match some of that speed. And I think that's the key, is tonight, Ansley Litchfield just wasn't able to match the speed. Amherst has to keep the mistakes to a minimum. They cannot turn it over, and they cannot have the silly penalties. They have to tackle that guy. And the biggest key to this is going to be this, and it's just how these downhill eight-man deals go. They're going to hand it to him, hand it to him, hand it to him, and at some point they're either going to boot back off, and they're going to send that tight end up and over. You got to run with that guy. And that really does make that tough.
We'll see how good Fullerton's pass defense is as well, because some of the balls that are thrown here, and it's hard to keep up with Braden Eckhout, but some of them are go get them. They're go get them balls. And if you're going to run into a team that has athletes, which they're going to do the rest of the way, those go get them balls become 50-50 balls, not 80-20 like we've seen Eckhout, because he's just better than everybody else so far.
See, and I love that point that you make, Doug, because here's the other key with that pass defense. Sundrup's got to be running all over the field on defense too.
Yep.
You know, when you're just downhill mashing, it's easy for you to get back at running back. I can go do it, right? But when you're on defense and you're having to run all over the field, because that's probably who they're going to have chase Eckhout.
We're going to take a final timeout, wrap things up on the New West postgame show after this.
At Broadfoot Sand and Gravel of Kearney, we've been moving and building your earth for years. Broadfoot produces and delivers sand and gravel and specializes in excavation, dirt work, site preparation, demolition, and snow removal. With 2 pit locations to save you time and money. Call Broadfoot Sand and Gravel today. Whether you need a little rock or a lot for landscaping, driveway building, business, or residential, Broadfoot is the only name you need. Let the professionals move and improve the earth for you.
Now's the time to get in touch with Craig Weegis, your Pioneer sales professional, to learn about the early pay savings program options. There's still time to choose from 2 payment periods, each with its own level of savings. Whichever you select, you'll get the financial rewards of using industry-leading products and technologies. Act before November 20th to take advantage of the 10% cash discount from DuPont Pioneer. For more information, contact your local Pioneer sales professional, Craig Weegis. Science with service, delivering success.
The State High School Football Playoffs on Platte River Radio, brought to you by Husker Power Products and Irrigation, Industrial Engines, Pumps and Generators, HuskerPowerProducts.com. We've just been told that it's almost 100% sure that kickoff Wednesday in Fullerton will be set for 6 o'clock next Wednesday. 99% sure that it'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff. And as I browse what we've got going on here, I don't. We always love those afternoon games for somebody in our area, so we can cover as many playoff games as possible. But you look, you've got an Elm Creek Burwell. That's probably that 6 o'clock type of deal. We will have Blue Hill at Hemingford. Sure, that'll be an afternoon game. Other teams that we will be covering, including. You've got Elwood, Sandhill, Stanford. That'll probably be an evening game. Bertrand against, it looks like now Maxwell is going to put that one away. That's an evening game for you. Then you go down to what we've got in D2. Giltner, Humphrey, St. Francis. Be interested to see what those teams decide to play out there. And the Kennesaw hosting Randolph. That could be a late afternoon type of ball game. So those are some of the winners from earlier tonight. But we'll continue to follow the Giltners, the Kennesaws, the Amherst like we are doing this evening. And in just a moment, when we wrap this up, we hope that you'll flip over to 1230 KHAS or Classic Hits 98.9 for tonight's CPI Mr. Tire Scoreboard Show, a wrap of all the playoffs, getting you ready. And then tomorrow, as we said, we've got three games, Hastings, St. Cecilia, and Southern. We'll be at Duncan Field, 7 o'clock, 1230 KHAS here on ESPN Radio. Kearney Catholic will host Boys Town. That's at 6 o'clock at Miles Field. You're going to see some athletes tomorrow night. Boys Town brings the speed to Kearney. And then Larry and I will be in David City on Classic Hits 98.9 as Aquinas, who's been to the semifinals 5 consecutive years, 3 straight finals, takes on the 8-1 Gibbon Buffaloes pregame tomorrow night at 6:30. Larry, final thoughts tonight, preview tomorrow. What do you got?
Yeah, I think, you know, tonight, great football game. It'll be interesting to see Amherst does next week. Tomorrow night's, again, I'll say it, you know, paper says that David City should roll it up. But I'm just telling you, you know, last year, Norfolk Catholic, paper said the same thing. Gibbon plays them tough. Gibbon will not be intimidated. They will not be afraid. They will travel well. They'll be well coached and well prepared, as will be David City. Aquinas, I understand that. But that very well could be a much better matchup than most people think, Doug. If I was in the area, I would either go or make sure and listen to that game. There's a chance that that one is a little closer than people think.
And downfield block, frees him into the end zone, and another one-play drive into the end zone again. Devin Dibbern. Devin with 3 touchdown runs. Trey Tobenheim, 3 touchdown passes tonight to Braden Eckout. Plus, he has a touchdown run. And Amherst wins tonight 50-14. You've been listening to the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show. They have certified and fellowship-trained physicians providing a superior standard of care with no referral necessary. No matter the activity, New West here to get you back to it. Schedule your appointment today. As always, a big thank you to Athletic Director Tyler Herman and the friendly folks here at Amherst. Don't forget Sub-District Volleyball Monday and Tuesday for most area teams. And, of course, we will have that for you as well. Kearney Catholic, by the way, we talked all football. They suffered their first loss, but it was to Class A North Platte tonight in 4 sets. We will have the Kearney Catholic Minden Cozad Gothenburg Subdistrict from Kearney High beginning at 4:30 Monday on Classic Hits 98.9. So, Larry, see you tomorrow in David City.
We'll be there.
For our producer engineer, Caleb Henry, and Larry Baker, I'm Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us. Final score, Amherst 50, Ansley Litchfield 22. Good night, everyone.
The proceeding has been a KXPN Sports production brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club. To download this podcast or any of our podcasts, go to our podcast link at ESPNSuperstation.com.